Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Well, looks like it's going to be a nice day in Chicago. Do we have agreement on that, Steve? A nice day in Chicago? Oh, Steve's wandering around the newsroom. He's about to settle up.
Good to me so far.
It's one of those sort of hazy, sunshiny, sunrisey sort of mornings, which generally means good things.
It's not like yesterday, though. But yesterday turned out to be beautiful, and we started out with that heavy fog.
Once the fog went away, we saw there was sunshine underneath it. Did you notice?
Yeah.
Huh?
It was hot yesterday. I was actually hot.
It was hot. Played a little golf yesterday afternoon. I know that shocks a lot of you, but it got to be about 80.
Mm-hmm.
Look, we got a lot going on today, as usual. The president's calling, which is perfect, because last night he launched his campaign. Kevin Powell on the Sox-Cubs. Sox get a late win last night, and they have Giolito going tonight, and Sox fans are expecting Giolito to win every start.
Great atmosphere at Wrigley last night, Steve. That was a tremendous win for the Chicago White Sox, and a tremendous moment, specifically for Eloy Jimenez.
Top of the ninth,
1-1 game.
Boom. Game winner.
Deep left field, and that one's not coming back.
And no blown save.
Alex Colom has been pitching great all year.
So that's all good. Were you at the game?
I was. I was.
Did you stay for the finish?
I left with one out in the bottom of the ninth. That's when I...
Oh, you saw the home run.
I saw the home run.
What time did you go to bed?
I went to bed at, let's call it 10:30, Steve.
You were in bed by 10:30? I don't think I was asleep by 10:30.
I think I was asleep by 10:30. Well, I was certainly in bed at 10:30.
That's impressive. Good for the White Sox, and good for the White Sox with another piece of news we'll tell you about in just a second, because it's time for the Top 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the Top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Item number one, you heard about it in the news just moments ago, I think. The White Sox will extend their netting from home plate to the foul poles as soon as possible. They are the first team in the big leagues to commit to that. There's some talk that it's not able to be done until the off season because it's a structural situation. Okay, I don't know anything about engineering. Seems like he could do it on one road trip. Maybe I'm wrong. But the fact that they're at least taking the step probably means other teams will follow. You know anything other than that?
Not really. At Guaranteed Rate Field, the way it's configured, the White Sox, I feel like, need it more than some teams because it's so low down the lines. I mean, you're right there. So it is... You are in trouble if you're not paying attention all the way down to the foul pole. So it's just a very logical, smart thing to do. And the White Sox taking the lead, so to speak, around baseball. One other team has joined in, the Rangers. So
after the White Sox announcement?
I think the Rangers might have been first, Steve, actually. But regardless, this is probably going to...
Everybody's got to do it.
Everyone's going to do it.
Again. I don't want to hear about kids that shouldn't be at the game. I don't want to hear about kids shouldn't be sitting in those seats. I don't want to hear about parents should be sitting in particular positions to protect their kids. We all have phones. We don't pay attention. Baseball is a slow game. All it takes is one time looking down at your phone and a line drive hit you in the side of the head. So let's accept reality that people aren't going to be able to protect themselves and protect us from ourselves and put the frickin' nets up.
100%.
Obviously, we saw Albert Almora's reaction to, you know, the ball just coming in hot. And then yesterday, James McCann, you know, future all-star catcher for the White Sox on the Rokan show, agreed with it, too. So this is a long time coming. This is the way to do it.
And good for the White Sox for being a leader in this.
No one is disagreeing. This is...
Well, baseball's dragging their feet, including the commissioner, who said we'll look into it.
That's true, but... As far as the players are going, there's not one player's like leave it how it is. I haven't heard that from one guy.
Who's gonna say that? You know.
Well, people are saying, well, it'll impact my enjoyment of the game. Tell you, you sit behind netting. I've done it a lot through the years. You notice it for about 30 seconds, and then it's over.
You get used to it,
and you notice it a lot less, by the way, than you would a line drive to the side of your head.
I was sitting behind the netting last night. I had a wonderful seat. Very much enjoyed the ballgame.
Surprised you didn't doze off. It's late for you.
I took a nice nap from like 5 to 6, Steve. Thank you for this. I like the concern. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy I am. You might be surprised by the ways you can get high once weed is legal in Illinois next year. I don't know any of these. Pot-infused K-cups?
Okay.
So like you could drink pot?
I guess.
Is that what we're talking about? Marcia, you know anything about weed?
Those are the ramen noodle cups.
Oh, okay. So the ramen noodle cups, you could get high by having a little cheap lunch. I don't know. Ramen noodles with THC. Rainbow-colored vaporizers. So, like, if you got a cold, you're trying a vaporizer, it's going to be blowing pot smoke. in pain-relieving lotions.
I like that idea, kind of.
Well, at our age.
Well, we need them for all our hurting muscles, you know? Just hope it doesn't make us fall asleep or something.
Yeah, it wouldn't be effective if you just go out for a run, you rub some pain-relieving pot lotion on you, and then you eat a can of Pringles.
I mean, I'm still old school. Gummies, brownies.
You're a classic.
The traditional way.
Yeah, you're a classic.
A joint, you know.
But that's all for people that don't want to light up to get stoned. I'm going to pass on the whole thing, but I'm not judging anybody that does it. And frankly, I hope we make some money off it. Next. Mayor Lightfoot appears to be repeating some of the same mistakes that Rahm Emanuel is accused of making. She's hanging with celebrities a lot. Oprah on the West Coast, Stephen Colbert on the East Coast. And people are already starting to grumble. You just got to the job. Let's run the city. Next. A report by Illinois health authorities found a South Suburban hospital had, quote, deficiencies in its handling of a baby that had been cut from a mother's womb, and the visiting of the family of those that stole the baby to the baby in the NICU. Despite those findings, the hospital will not be penalized or lose federal funding. This is an insane decision to me. Yeah. I mean, you know, look, the hospital has to get their act together, but there's got to be some penalties for making a mistake of this magnitude. They didn't have anything to do with the murder, but the fact that they didn't protect others from the fact that the murderers were in the hospital, an appropriate way of identifying folks that are hanging around the NICU, is ridiculous.
Unbelievable.
It's just scary that for anybody who's having whatever, that you can go into the hospital and something and sure you don't necessarily feel safe.
You ought to be forced to show 3 forms of ID in your passport to get in if you're not the parent of the baby. And I'm a grandparent saying that.
I mean, you show no signs of having a baby. That's just unreal.
Right? Come on. Next. Mr. Peanut introduces nutty new kicks. Mr. Peanut has always been a strong, dapper dresser for, over 100 years. But now he's hanging up his regular spats for custom high-top sneakers. Crunch Force 1S. Is that right? 1S? Each pair is made with premium leather, Mr. Peanut shoe tongue, and a peanut insole. Are you one of these sports guys that collect sneakers?
Jordans.
Just Jordans?
Yes.
How many pairs?
I probably had like 6 from the late 80s and 90s laying around.
Well, that's pretty good.
It's not terrible.
Fans can order their own pair of Crunch Force for $170?
Hey, man, Mr. No. Peanut has stood the test of time. Those shoes are a bargain.
Is this an advertisement? Is this a paid advertisement?
No.
Okay.
No, feel free to make fun of it in other instances.
My God.
You can go to crunchforce1s.com starting yesterday to order. If you pay $170 for Mr. Peanut sneakers, you got too much money.
You're nuts.
And on the lip,
well said.
On the lip of the shoe, they have his monocle. It's kind of funny.
I don't remember us paying money. Remember when the Raisins wore tennis shoes?
The California Raisins?
Yeah, the California Raisins.
Yeah.
And they danced and stuff. We didn't buy those tennis shoes, did we?
No, not at all. And I also don't understand. I don't understand the sneaker thing to begin with. I don't understand buying used sneakers. I don't get the collection on this.
The dude's got his own vehicle. He travels the country in a peanut mobile. Does that not garner some serious respect?
How do you get street cred by wearing Mr. Peanut sneakers?
You don't.
Right? Come on. 619, that's your top 6 at 6.
That's it!
That's all today for the top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Steve's here to tell you what's coming up, and then we're going to give away Gordon Lightfoot tickets.
Woohoo!
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
The legend lives on from the triple on down to the big, 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 cookie
chigumi. Come on, sing along.
So I love Gordon.
The lady said never gives up the dead again in November to
me. That's awful.
With the load of iron ore.
Here's the part nobody knows. With a load of iron ore, 26,000 tons more than the Edmund Fitzgerald weighed empty.
The good ship and crew was about to be chewed when the gales of November came early.
And then it goes on in the song, and again, it's a lovely sing-along for you younger listeners who aren't familiar with it. Eventually, the cook comes to the deck and says, "Fellas, it's been good to know you. I tried to cook you dinner, but, you know, it's a little rough out there.
It's chewy." whatever that was.
It's just not good. And then in the end, everybody dies. It's Gordon Lightfoot's most famous song, and it is a classic, and it was a gigantic hit in the 70s. Well, here's the good news for you. Gordon Lightfoot's coming back, and he has other songs, too. And he's going to be at the Copernicus Center. Yeah, I've never seen a show at the Copernicus Center. Is anybody?
That's a no.
No.
Yeah. Lightfoot's 80-Year Strong Tour. 80-Year Strong celebrates his 80th birthday.
Go Gordon.
Did you know he was 80?
No way.
I didn't know that either.
Really? Well, I guess this was from the 70s.
Mm. I'm really old now, but I can still sing a little bit. It features well-known hits, deep album cuts, personal anecdotes from his 50-plus year musical career, and tickets are on sale Monday the 24th at 10 a.m. at Copernicus Center at eventbrite.com. The show is September 27th at Copernicus Center. We're kind of rolling the dice, waiting until September for the show, aren't we? Should we get him on stage immediately?
Well, you know, he doesn't move like Jagger, so I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, probably sitting on a stool playing a guitar,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
That's what he did in the old days, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think he's moved since then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for him, as Carmen said, for getting out there and singing. So that's good. So what do you say, 7th caller? 312?
80th caller.
Buddy. 80th Let's caller. Go. 80th caller, one for each year of his life. Now we'll go caller, caller 8. Drop the 0. Caller 8, 312-981-7200. That's the number for the Gordon Lightfoot tickets. We'll give away Hawks convention passes later for you people that must win something to listen.
You know, I was in bed last night at 10:30, Steve.
Uh-huh. That's right here.
Willie Nelson was on with Kimmel.
Uh-huh.
He was there, and he's 86, and he's still performing. Not a whole lot of thoughts coming out of Willie's mouth. He just kind of sat there and looked at Jimmy.
Well, the amount of weed the man smoked through the years, and by the way, continues to smoke at 86. So I don't know if he's pickled or if it's kept him alive.
It was just the most bizarre interview I've ever seen. Kimmel just started talking and talking and talking.
And Willie went, uh-huh.
Thanks, Willie.
Wonder if Willie uses the pot-infused K-cups.
I think Willie's old school. Actually, I've got a great Willie Nelson pot story. And this is no more than 10, 11 years ago. So let's say it's 11 years ago. He's 75. He was doing a special show for country music television, CMT, and he's in Nashville, and they're going to tape the show, and he's at a very famous hotel in Nashville. So the night of the show, he's going to check out because they're going to get on the bus and they're going to leave from the show. So he gets to the venue, he does the show, and he tells a friend of mine, I left something back at the hotel. And a friend of mine goes, "Well, we can go get it for you, Willie. Just tell us what it is." He goes, no, I'll get it. He goes, no, it's the least we can do for you doing this for us. We'll go get it. He goes, no, I got it. But could you call a hotel and tell them I'm coming? So the show gets done at like 10:30, 11 o'clock. He goes back to the hotel. Now it's closer to midnight. Goes up to the front desk. Poor guy, Willie Nelson. Nice to see you, Mr. Nelson. What can I do for you? I left something in my room I need to grab. Oh, we'll get that for you, Mr. Nelson. No. I got it. Well, there's a problem, Mr. Nelson. Someone's in the room. See, because when you checked out earlier, the next guest checked in. He said, well, let me think about that. Knowing full well that he can't get the hotel to wake up the person in the room and can't tell the front desk that he's picking up his weed. So he goes up to the door. Now, keep in mind, it's midnight in Nashville. Goes up to the door, knocks on the door.
It's Willie Nelson at your door.
Still in concert gear, probably, the way. Probably had the bandana on.
I hope there wasn't a do not disturb sign.
Knocks on the door twice. Knocks on the door a third time. An Asian man comes to the door, opens the door, and says, Willie Nelson? He's a businessman in town, had no idea, but he knew Willie Nelson. I'm sorry, sir. I stayed in this room. I left something in this room. I hope you don't mind. No. Willie, come in. So Willie comes into the room, and he said, could you give me a hand? Sure. What do we need to do?
Oh, boy.
We need to move this table over here.
Oh, my God.
No way.
Move the table. Help Willie up on the table so he could reach up to the ceiling, move a ceiling tile, reach into the ceiling where his wood box filled with weed was that he stuffed up there earlier.
That's amazing.
Wow. Got it down, replaced the tile, shook hands with the man, thanked him, said, here's my manager's name. If you'd ever like tickets to a show, let me know. Left the room. That the greatest thing ever?
Okay, but how did he get it up there in the first place?
Apparently a housekeeper or somebody else who he could trust was in the room. Wow. Maybe a friend.
A great story.
Was he worried that he was going to end up like Cash back in the day when they were knocking on the door and searching his room?
I think that's why he put it in the ceiling. Hit it in the ceiling. It's not Willie's first day. You know, he figured it out. We're going to come back and get you the headlines in just a second at 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Now, and the Steve Cochran Show continues. Man, I hope this throat thing clears up before Trump gets on. You know, he hates when people have a throat. Oof. He yelled at Mick Mulvaney for coughing.
He's going to hang up on you, Steve.
Could be. Karen Conti joins us. Good morning, Karen. How are you?
Good morning.
And welcome back to the program. When are you on your the radio?
I'm on the radio Sunday evenings from 7 to 9.
Is that a pretty good show? Is that worth listening to?
Well, I think so, but I'm a little biased, you might say. We talk about stuff. We talk about legal stuff, but we also talk about other things in the community and the society, psychology and different things, news and information to empower you.
And I understand you juggle, and radio juggling is quite big. Card tricks.
That's right. You never know when I drop things, so never.
All right, we got a lot to get to. Let's start with that creep Harvey Weinstein.
Yes.
His defense attorney wants to quit. Can lawyers quit on you anytime they want?
No, they can't. They actually have to ask the judge to release them. And in his case, I counted 5 lawyers that he's had in this case. 5. And, once you're in a case, you're in it until the judge says, you can leave. And you have to have a pretty good reason, because judges don't like when lawyers move in and out, because usually that will cause a delay and it might impact the client adversely. And the judge, is supposed to make sure that everyone gets a fair trial here and that the case moves swiftly. And, it doesn't look good either that he's dropping his lawyers one by one. It kind of gives you the idea that he might be hard to deal with. It's not a good thing. And I think that Harvey Weinstein is probably someone who might be asking lawyers to do bad things, like to torture a witness up on the stand, lie, do other things like that, subpoena people who aren't relevant just to bother them. And I think some lawyers, most lawyers are good lawyers and good people, and they're not going to do that. They're not going to have their reputation besmirched by some idiot who wants to punish people just because they're going to testify against him. But
well, let's be fair. We'll idiot rapist. So, I mean, come on. If we're going to call the guy a name, let's make sure we get it right. So when you quit a client, you have to present written evidence to a judge, or you can verbally say to the judge, this guy, whether it's in chamber or whatever, this guy's nuts and I can't represent him anymore.
You have to file a formal motion, and it has to be heard by the judge. And it's really precarious because you can't really say exactly. I mean, some of this stuff might be attorney-client privilege. So I can't say the client told me to do this because that would be a breach. But as in this news story that you read, you know, the stuff that he says is he is engaged in behavior that makes representation unreasonably difficult to carry out. Well, you know, you can read between the lines there. He's asking her, him to do stuff that is not appropriate. So you can't really say exactly what the client told you, but you have to give the judge a good idea about what the issues are.
And this latest attorney is a former guest on the show on a number of occasions, attorney Jose Baez. Not like he hasn't represented difficult people before. He was Casey Anthony's attorney.
Right, right. And it's, you know, it's, you, he's a tough guy. So you think he would weather that storm. And, you know, most of the time when you are an attorney of that stature and you say to somebody, listen, I'm not doing that. It's going to make you look bad. I'm here for you. I'm trying to get you off of this this rap. And he's still not listening. I mean, I imagine Harvey doesn't listen to anybody.
I met him a couple of times back in the day when I was running in out of Los Angeles. And he just had that creep vibe as long before anybody knew what a criminal he was. And he was a bully and just a jerk to a lot of people. So, you know, I'm not surprised that he's having this problem of holding on to attorneys. He called one of Trump's people. They seem to put up with a lot. What?
It's hard. I mean, it's hard to deal with people who have always gotten their way. I mean, Harvey Weinstein is a person who has always done what he's wanted to do. He's taken what he's wanted, it seems to me. I'm not to say that he's guilty before he's, you know.
No, I'll do that for you. He's guilty
that way. Yeah, you know, and he's not taking anything from anyone. And unfortunately, he's not in his own realm right now. He's in the realm of the court system, and the lawyers like Jose Baez knows what he's doing. And this guy should listen to Jose Baez, but he's not. He'll get his sixth lawyer, and we'll see how that goes.
I told a story a few minutes ago of Willie Nelson hiding weed in the roof, the ceiling, if you will, of a hotel in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And getting it out of the ceiling and getting out of the hotel. A texter writes, 5 or 6 years ago, I was the director of special events for a hotel in central Illinois. Willie was staying at the hotel when he's on his way back from a concert. He came through the back door and through our conference center and crashed a wedding that I was working at. He was a blast. I'm not saying Willie's not fun. I'm just saying Willie is quite the cat burglar at times when he needs to be. 75 years old, climbing up on a desk, getting his weed out of a ceiling panel. So when weed is legalized, what do we figure? January 1st?
January 1st.
You can own how much?
Oh, I forgot exactly how many ounces. It's not a whole lot. You can grow your own, a few plants. I don't know exactly how many ounces. But, yeah, it's you know, it's going to be very interesting. I think the law needs to catch up with the science, or the science needs to catch up with the law, because we don't even have a way to measure, you know, how intoxicated a person is when they're driving. I don't know how the police are going to come down on people who are doing this in public. You know,
they show them a Cheech and Chong movie and they see how hard they laugh. I think that's probably the equivalent of the breathalyzer at this point. But the reason I bring all of this up is not just to tell you Willie Nelson stories, but because people have a lot of confusion now about what is legal and what isn't. And it's not just the amount of weed. It's whether they can be stopped in the possession question. And you can't grow it for somebody else, but can you buy it from, you know, someone outside of a licensed dealer? All these things that seem like common sense questions that maybe aren't widely known.
Well, yeah, and I, you know, I mean, this is going to be regulated. But now the question is, for people who smoke pot, are you going to now go to the, you know, Pot R Us store that's certified by the state of Illinois, pay taxes on it?
And Potco! Buy it from it's them, next to Costco! Continue? It's Potco!
Potco. Yeah, so, yeah, I think that the police are, my guess is the police are not going to prioritize this, and if people are smoking in public or smoking in a college, which they're not supposed to do, smoking in their car, they're not supposed to do it, that, you know, they're going to be a slap on the wrist going on, because there's better better things for the police to do.
What about secondhand smoke?
Yeah, that's an interesting one.
I mean, if I don't want to get high and I'm around somebody who's legally smoking...
Well, you're not going to be able to smoke it indoors, right? These are the rules. You can't smoke cigarettes indoors. You can't smoke weed indoors, right?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
These are all questions that I don't think have been answered.
And landlords, people are talking about, oh my gosh, people are going to be smoking pot in my apartment building. Well, landlords can still bar any kind of smoke in the entire premises in your own apartment. Just because it's legal doesn't mean a private individual can't say, we're not going to have pot smoking here. So.
A couple other quickies. Harvard rejected one of the Parkland students for old tweets. Fair? Unfair?
You know, Harvard's a private school. It can do what it wants to do. And, you know, this is a big lesson for kids out there. We've seen a few of these actually here in Chicago area where in the free time that kids are saying things and doing things and using bad words. And the schools are saying, we're not going to have you here. We've got codes of conduct. Yes, you have your First Amendment rights. If we're a public school, if it's a private school, First Amendment doesn't even apply. So Harvard can certainly take his words that he used 2 years ago.
And by the way, I said tweet. It was text message, Skype, and a Google Doc. So just the method of delivery was different.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what he said was very offensive. But, you know, he was 16. His position was, I was a youthful indiscretion, and now I'm older, and now I've evolved. And Harvard says no. And they have a right to do that. And if you read the codes of these schools, even the high schools, the private high schools, there's an honor code that you take, that you say you're going to honor and uphold, you know, the standards of the school, even when I'm, you know, in the middle of my summer break. So kids out there, and you've got to maybe sit down with your kids and show them these one story after another. Get kids getting evicted, kids having horrible things happen to them. I have kids who are getting their names changed because their name has been in the newspaper so many times because of offensive tweets that now they can't get a job, they can't apply for college. Yeah. So this is a serious problem that we didn't have growing up. That was one problem we didn't have.
No, because if we were dumb enough to write it down, it could be thrown out. Stuff sticks to the internet forever. And in the case of this young man, I don't doubt that he's sorry and don't doubt that he's grown up. But the N-word appears in caps, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 times in these various messages. So the message here for everybody else is a private school can take away your right to go to that school anytime they want.
That is correct.
Okay. Last thing, can I go to the Dominican Republic without dying?
Oh, my goodness. And now there's a new food poisoning issue. Did you see that one?
Yeah.
So not only do we have like 8 people dying from consuming alcohol, apparently. Yeah, no, it's a bad situation. I've been asked a million times, you know, do these people have a recourse? And the problem is you can't really sue in the United States. When something happens, when you're on vacation, you really are, you need to have a lawyer down there who knows the system and who can bring the lawsuit. And just so you know, our system is a very liberal system when it comes to personal injury. I mean, I think our system is good because it makes things safe. So people sue, and it seems like consumer issues get resolved quickly. In places like the Dominican Republic, there may not be that those kinds of laws. I mean, I know their statute of limitations is very short, 6 months they have to sue. They may not have, you know, the same laws and rules about how much you can get. But certainly the investigation is going on now. The FBI is involved, which is good. But these people are going to have to consult a lawyer probably in the Dominican.
Thank you, Karen Conti. How do we get a hold of you at the office if we need help from a lawyer, say if we're trying to make bail and, you know, we need you?
Sure. My number, 312-332-7800. Better yet, send me an email at wgn@askkarenconti.com.
And we'll hear you Sunday night?
Sunday night from 7 to 9.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll come back in a moment at 6:51. The Steve Cochran Show continues next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Here comes the sun, tootin' tootin'. Here comes the sun, and I say, it's all right.
I'm looking for something else to eat for breakfast. I don't think the Diet Coke's enough.
Are you sending us out for? I mean, I'll do a run, Steve. I'm here to help the show.
No, I don't think you can leave. I'm asking for suggestions because I've been thinking about doing an oatmeal thing in the morning. I don't feel like getting up early enough to make oatmeal. That could take 30 seconds.
You can do like Walter Jacobson.
What's Walter do?
He eats oatmeal every morning. He puts it in the microwave. It overflows. Yeah. And then
and he, has his toast. He has his toast.
And everybody smells it, and everybody hates you.
Here, I got an easy one for you, Steve. This is what I do. I put a couple of toaster waffles in the toaster, and while I'm getting ready, and then I put them in a thing and bring him to work. That's what I have for breakfast.
But how much extra time does that take?
Zero time, because I put him in right as I'm getting in the shower, and then when I get ready to walk out the door, I grab him and take him with me.
Not bad. Yeah. Not bad.
Go back to what we used to do.
What we used to do is eat Pop-Tarts.
Yep. we think so alike.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The cinnamon Pop-Tarts.
Brown sugar cinnamon Pop-Tarts.
Oh, the best.
You don't even have to toast them.
Oh, they're better toasted.
Yeah, they are, actually. Yeah.
The better solution here is to just hire, you should hire a chef to come in and make us omelets.
Every day.
Just have an omelet station.
I don't like eggs. You know where eggs come from? I don't like eggs.
Well, we could have a pancake station.
I like chickens. I just don't like eggs.
You know, bananas are the cure for everything.
I love bananas.
Well, bring one every day. We all do.
I have an apple every night for dinner. I could have a banana every morning.
That's what I do. I have a banana in the morning and an apple in the afternoon.
Here's the problem, though. I have to have a I have to have a Diet Coke because I need the caffeine.
Well, have tea. I have a lot of tea.
I can't drink hot beverages.
Oh, brother.
So I have to have a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke doesn't go with a banana.
It's a good point.
No, it would go with the waffles, though, because I've had Diet Coke and waffles.
Diet Coke with eggs is delicious. You really don't like eggs?
I don't like eggs. I've had a lot of eggs.
Nobody ever
like eggs.
No one dislikes eggs.
How about a bagel?
Sure they do. The chickens hate eggs.
Your bagel?
Yeah, bagel's not a terrible idea.
I used to bring a bagel every day, but now I just bring
But it has to be minimum preparation with maximum effect. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I used to
bring bagels, too, until somebody started stealing them. So.
Oh, that's right.
What?
He had that. Yeah.
We had a bagel thief around here?
Steve got really upset, and he blamed it on me for a while.
Steve Grzanich.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about Hot Pockets? Are they any good?
No.
Those are bad for you. They're
terrible.
I don't know.
You can get those frozen breakfast, you know.
Well, what you're telling
me is
I've got to get up earlier. And I don't see that happening.
All you have to do is throw a banana and a yogurt in a little bag and put it in the refrigerator. Oh, not a yogurt. They'll get stolen, too. But I put mine in a bag. Nobody ever takes it.
Have you tried granola bar? Cliff bar?
Yeah.
Not your style?
I don't feel that every day.
Yeah. That would kind of get old.
Yeah.
Go get us donuts.
Even with all the multiple flavors?
Donuts is not a breakfast. Donuts is like a dessert.
Do you like French toast?
I like French people. I like French toast.
Okay, so I rotate the waffles in and out with freezer French toast. So you throw the two pieces of French toast in the toaster, and they're ready to go, just like the waffles are when you leave, and those are good for you, too.
How do you feel delicious. What about peanut butter, Steve? You like peanut butter?
Yeah, I love peanut butter.
How about just a nice spoonful of peanut butter? That is minimal
prep. Protein pop.
Just a nice, you put it in there.
Wash it down with a Diet Coke.
Delicious.
Yeah, good to go.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I mean, a spoonful of peanut butter, I mean, that's a good thing anytime.
And it helps the Diet Coke go down.
I don't know. Ray's on the phone to try to help me with this very important problem. Yes, Ray, what should I have for breakfast?
Yeah, hi. I actually had the same issue. I'm a school teacher. I leave early in the morning, and I found this thing this year called overnight oats, which is basically oatmeal that you put milk in and you leave it in the fridge overnight. You just grab it and go in the morning.
Wait, help me out here. You put milk in it like at night and you throw it in the refrigerator, and then you get up in the morning and it's ready to go?
Yep, and you just grab it and go.
Where am I buying this? The Jewel?
Yeah, they have it at Jewel. I get mine at Costco, but they have them at Jewel, and you can get them online too.
Overnight
oats. It's got its own little container and everything, so you don't even have to clean any dishes.
Do they cook themselves, or how does that work?
I'm not exactly sure.
It's a miracle. It's a scientific miracle.
I leave it to science.
Is there fruit or anything in it, or is it just oatmeal?
Yeah, I had blueberries and stuff to mine, but you can add whatever you want to it.
That sounds pretty strong. Minimum time, maximum effect. All right, Ray, hold on. Give Ray something for maybe fixing my problem. It's 7 o'clock. The president's calling soon, so we must take this break. We'll come back in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Mr. Grzanich, next.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
It's the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
Helpful texters, there are now brunch Lunchables. Brunch Lunchables are the gas station pickup when you just gotta grab something, right?
Yeah, but don't do that, Steve.
No, of course not. Don't they have like a little stack of cheese and then lunch meat and
crackers?
The processed, disgusting meat in that package.
Check the expiration date.
And a shelf life of 7 months.
Yeah.
Right.
Gotta check the date on those.
Let's see. Let me get you a couple more of these. Overnight oats. This is the one a guy recommended, overnight oats.
Everybody's recommending those.
Yeah, there's a lot of that out there.
I got to warn you, Steve, those are very soggy. You have to appreciate a soggy oat if you're going to eat that.
I'm having brown sugar Pop-Tarts for breakfast this morning.
Yes.
On my 45-minute drive to work. Also, I'm with you, Steve. I don't like eggs either.
Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Always have been, always will be. Pop-Tarts are great. You're not.
I consider that poor parents and kids who ate Pop-Tarts.
Oh, please.
There's so much fruit in there, though.
There is a low-fat, lower-calorie version of Pop-Tart, but it's still...
How much calories are in a Pop-Tart?
You're talking about I would say at least 500.
500 calories in one Pop-Tart?
Well, in the two Pop-Tarts together, right? I'm betting it's at least 500.
The crust is the best.
I'm going to get my research department on this. How many calories are in two Pop-Tarts?
200 calories.
200 each?
Yes.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too far off. And how much sugar? Probably 40 grams of sugar.
Just work it off the rest of the day. You'll be fine.
Seattle Sutton's healthy eating, no shopping, cooking, clean up your thinking, plus something different every morning. All fresh, never frozen, really great. French toast, waffles, egg bake, frittata, granola, yogurt, all dietitian curated and healthy. Thank you, Seattle, for texting. That's actually not a commercial. That's someone who obviously strongly believes in it. And this isn't that what didn't Lou Manfredini just lose 30, 40 pounds on Seattle Sun?
Did he really?
Yes, he did.
Go Lou.
352, minimum prep. Just eat at the drive-thru, Steve. You're there anyway. 630, eggs. Well, you know, I lost a bunch of weight because I stopped eating at the drive-thru a lot. Okay, so... I mean, it's not against my religion. I'm just saying I'm trying not to do it as much.
I mean, this 815 text, McDonald's oatmeal is amazing, and you're already getting a Diet Coke. That seems very seamless for you.
You know what they always try to sell me at McDonald's is a blueberry muffin. They got to be a commission for the blueberry muffin.
Trying to get rid of them.
You pull into McDonald's at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they go, would you like to have a blueberry muffin? No, wait for what I want to order. Stop telling me what to order. 630, egg suavide? Is that what it's called from Starbucks?
I think that is the correct pronunciation.
Egg suavide.
Those egg bites.
Get some protein, low carb. You can get a version at Sam's or Costco. But, oh, this is 6-3. I forgot about these. Belvita. The Belvita stuff's good. Some taste like a shoe, but those are pretty good.
What is it, like a cookie?
It's like an energy thing.
Oh, yeah,
They're okay if you dunk them in coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
The problem with Starbucks, though, we get here before Starbucks opens up in the morning, so that kind of...
630, trust me, blueberry almond oatmeal from Starbucks. Mm. Anyway, thanks for all your help. Appreciate it. I mean, I could do it. Oh, here we go. Totally forget
it. Later, loser.
I wonder what he eats for breakfast.
Later, loser.
Everything.
He also has a Diet Coke, I hear.
He has a bucket of chicken for breakfast.
Later, loser.
Yeah, I'm coming. Mr. President, so great to hear from you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cochran. Hey, listen, before we begin, I'm warning you right now, if anybody coughs or so much as clears their throat in the background, this interview's over. You hear me?
Seems like a rational threat. We'll talk about your tolerance for everything shortly, but how about your big re-election rally in Orlando last night? How'd it go?
How'd it go? I mean, it was a virtual Trump-cella out there last night. No, Florida brings out the best people. The rally was mostly made up of 80% old people and 20% Hooters waitresses. A matter of fact, folks started lining up to get into this thing during President Obama's second term. True story.
Is that right? Yeah, no, you wouldn't lie.
Lots of people.
Yeah. Now, the thing about you, sir, is you're always right.
I am always right, and I always love a Florida crowd. You know, I don't think I've ever seen so many American flag bikinis, mostly worn by people who have no business wearing American flag bikinis. A lot of people, you know, they were holding up their arms and legs to show me their Trump 2020 tattoos. One guy even mooned me to show me his. I can't unsee that. Now, he had MA on one cheek and GA on the other.
So he had meh on one cheek and gah on the other?
MAGA. Can you believe it?
All right, now despite the big
even for me.
Party atmosphere, most folks seem to really enjoy your speech, sir.
And why not? It was a great speech.
Oh, yeah.
One of the best speeches of all time.
Sure.
I don't remember any of it because, you know, I made it up on the spot. But I'm sure I made a lot of great points and never sounded like a crazy person once.
No, not at all. Now, you allegedly had over 100,000 people request tickets for your rally. So the numbers that were good. Poll numbers say Biden's whooping you.
Fake news, Cochran. Those polls are 100% fake. 100%. Mm-hmm. It's a huge lie. Huge lie. Look, there's no way that decrepit, doll-haired Democrat is ever going to beat me in anything. Okay, other than maybe a restraining order contest.
Well, what polls do you believe?
The ones done by the pollsters outside the Amway Center last night. Guess what? 100% favorability rating. Back on top, Cochran. Double OK signs.
Did you pass out a lot of hats and shirts to your people?
Oh, lots of free stuff. In fact, the first 500 seniors at the gate got a free, custom-designed, limited-edition, gold-embossed Trump 2020 colostomy bag. Very stylish.
How could it not be?
Their Vice President Pence was in charge of the T-shirt launcher, weren't you, Mike?
Well, thank you for giving me that honor, sir. I didn't tell Mother. She wouldn't have not let me do it. I almost hit the rafters with that cannon. It was so powerful.
You know, you did a great job, Mike. I owe you one.
Well, about my 2024 presidential run.
Easy there, Mike. Don't get ahead of yourself.
Well, how about that? I mean, right there, you keep sidestepping the question. Wouldn't you endorse Pence in 2024?
You know, there's actually an excellent reason why I haven't come out and endorsed Mike, okay? It's like this. Mike's warranty expires in 2023.
Really?
And I just couldn't leave the American people with a president who could break down. Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, he's held up very well. Now, very low mileage for an old white guy. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's 100% correct, Your Eminence. In fact, parts of me have barely been used. Ask Mother.
Too much information, Mike, but thanks.
All right, now the big topic. I love when he calls you Your Eminence. Now, the big topic coming into this week before your rally was the interview with George Stephanopoulos on ABC. And we also saw you get irritated by your chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, who coughed during the taping. You've already threatened us. Can you tell us what happened?
Remember, in the Trump administration, Cochran, coughing and sneezing are a sign of weakness. And old mucus mouth Mulvaney did it again. Just disgusting, nonstop hacking. I mean, frankly, he was such a hack, I thought he worked for the New York Times. Now,
I see what you did there.
He was really... He was distracting me from what Snuffleupagus was saying, okay? My chief of staff infection. What a loser. You know, he did that to me once on the golf course during a tee shot. Oh. I hooked it into the woods, and we buried him up to his neck in a sand trap for the rest of the day in hopes that it would teach him a lesson, but apparently not.
Ah, your stress never ends. Now, your press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, is leaving at the end of the month. I'm sure you're going to miss her.
Yes, and I just want to thank Sarah Huckleberry for the incredible job that she did. You know, she was a breath of fresh air around here. And when I say fresh air, I mean it always smelled like lavender and curly fries in her office. I'm going to miss her run-ins with the press. Don't get me wrong. I mean, mainly when she would give noogies to CNN's Jim Acosta. That was great.
Now, speaking of the growing list of people who don't work for you anymore, your former communications director, Hope Hicks, lovely lady, testifies in a closed-door session today with Congress. You got to be concerned about that.
Not at all. She won't tell them anything because she knows nothing. Now, come on. Do you think I would trust a chick with Russian collusion secrets? I only share that stuff with the guys in the clubhouse at Mar-a-Lago. Now, Hope Hicks, she's beautiful. She will always be the other hot daughter I wish I could have had instead of Tiffany.
You know, sir, a lot of this stuff...
We have such a special relationship.
A lot of this stuff you're saying out loud. Acting Defense Secretary Pat Shanahan, very disturbing story yesterday, a past domestic violence incident. He's no longer going to be your acting defense secretary.
You know, it's very unfortunate, Cochran. And look, you know, I'll be the first to say it. We have to do a better job at vetting. I will agree with that. You know, luckily we have a new hire to help make that happen. He just joined my administration. O.J. Simpson is going to take care of that.
Yeah, good call. Nice, stable move. We're out of time, sir. Thanks for calling.
Later, loser.
He always sells the loser.
The Steve Cochran Show presents the most valuable person on the planet. The MVPP is sponsored by MegaPros. They make it fun to get stuff done.
And now it's time to move on to a little something we call...
The most valuable person on the planet.
You think if Trump gets his deportation thing together next week that he'll deport me?
You're on the list, Steve. There's no doubt.
Where would he deport me to? One of the other markets I was fired from?
I was thinking Indonesia is what that was.
Never worked in Indonesia. I had a chance there at Hot 97 Indonesia, but I didn't take the gig. Most valuable person on the planet, sponsored by MegaPros. They do make it fun to get stuff done. And Tim Bingham, I'm sorry, Brigham, joins us now. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. How is everybody?
We're good. Thanks for being on. Tell people what the Superhero Collective is.
It's a 501c3 that we started about 5 years ago. We started with an idea of, we learned through our own child of the beauty behind distracting a child who's going through treatment. It was Superhero Week, and they did such a wonderful job that I'm type A, and I decided, hey, you know what? I'm going to grab a Batman suit, and I'm going to show up, and I'm a surprise kid in the hospital and give back to the hospitals that gave so much to us. And it's grown every single year to the point now that I threw down the gauntlet, and last year we had a big fundraiser where I announced that we were going to raise funding for purchasing the home, renovating it, and giving it away to one of the families that we visit in the hospital that have a child battling, you know, a terrible disease.
Well, I mean, that's a big deal, but let me back up to the superhero part of this first. Are you still doing it? Are people still doing that?
Oh yeah. I now have a Wonder Woman that comes with me. I've got a Captain America that comes with me. We take this very, very seriously. And
the look on kids' faces has got to be great when you walk into these rooms.
Yeah, we've got a saying at the collective: we do it right or we don't do it at all. And we spend, decent coin on these costumes because it's important. You know, if you show up and you're in cheap spandex, unfortunately, the child looks at you and says, maybe you're Batman. I don't know. Thanks. But when you show in, they walk in with a movie quality costume on, they're like, wait, hold on. That's really Batman.
That's Batman.
Hold on.
Hello, yeah. Timmy.
My stick is I act like a dad. Like, I don't do the voice. I don't do any of that. I walk in and I tell dad jokes. Oh, and they look at me like, wait, what? It's great.
And what age range are the kids you're seeing?
Hey, you know, we never know what we're walking into. Sometimes newborn all the way to teenager.
Wow.
I mean, and you just adapt. You walk into the room, you figure out what the situation is, and you adapt to whatever the child needs them.
And right? It's a great thing, and it's a very generous thing. You mentioned your own child. What's the backstory?
So my son got RSV, which turned out to be, he's fine. I mean, there's no issue, but, you know, it's that moment that every parent, you know, is terrified of. You get this phone call that there's something wrong with your child. And my son had passed out at Target. He was having trouble breathing, and they determined that he needed to spend 3 days in the hospital getting a treatment every hour on the hour, which is terrifying, you know,
sure.
Especially for a little kid. They don't know what's going on. They don't understand it. The nurses came up with an idea because it was Superhero Week that they distracted the children by having them go out in the hallway and do a seek and find and find all the superheroes in the hallways. And at the end, once they were done with the seek and find, whether they got it right or wrong, they got to go to a room and pick out a toy. And I want to tell you, I have never seen, it messed me up. I've never seen anything more beautiful in my life watching very sick children high-five each other, going, I want that one. Ooh, I'm getting that one.
Yeah, pretty cool.
And
pretty cool.
It was just a cool, I just wanted more of that. I wanted to you don't realize that somewhere right now there's parents and a child dealing with something that whatever's in front of you is not that bad in comparison.
So this home that you're giving away, when does it happen and how do you do it?
So on the 29th, it's the official demo day. We're going to be ripping this home apart, getting it ready for, right now it's ugly, right? There's nothing wrong with the house, it's all salt cosmetic, right? So we're going to rip this completely apart. I've partnered up with the Cook County Land Bank, which has been amazing, and they've donated this property to our charity. So we now have partners like Renova Financial who step up to the plate, Home Depot, all kinds of local contractors that are all, we're a collective. We're all getting together, and if everybody picks up one piece, we have a beautiful project. We have a beautiful home. So I'm working with local hospitals and local organizations to figure out, the whole scope of everything. You know, we're going to customize this thing based off of the child's needs.
So if people want to donate, if, you know, the contractor types want to step up, vendors, suppliers, whatever, maybe you've got what they need or what they have, or maybe you don't. Maybe you need what they've got. How do they get a hold of you?
If everybody just picks up one little piece, this is one beautiful project. We are a collective. SuperheroCollective.com, or my email is Batman@SuperheroCollective.com.
I'm Batman.
Is there a chance, possibly, that Tim actually is Batman?
Don't tell anybody.
SuperheroCollective.com. Thank you, man. You're the most valuable person on the planet.
I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Have a great morning.
All right, there you go. Good dude. That's a cool idea. Slapping on the superhero gear and walking into a sick kid and making them feel better. I like that. Coming up, speaking of children, Kevin Powell was at the Cubs Sox game last night. So was Mark Carmen, but Kevin Powell and Mark Carmen will now talk to me about the significance of the Sox beating the Cubs in Game 1, and where's this going to go from here. And we'll also find out why Kevin wasn't working last night, and he was hanging around drinking with Ro Khan.
Powell had better seats than me. I was very jealous.
Well, he also wasn't covering the game.
Well, he did cover it.
Covered it? He sat in the front row, had beers with Ro Khan.
Well, he did go in the locker room and get some sound afterwards.
Yeah, he's a drunk. Hey! Hey, where go White Sox? Who wants to talk? Yeah, that kind of coverage?
Strong coverage.
Yeah, it's strong. 7:32, headlines are next, 7:20 WGN.
A high fly ball into deep left field. Schwarber turns and looks, and it's gone! Eloy Jimenez has just hit a two-run bomb.
The Steve Cochran Show.
That's my old pal, Kevin Powell. Doing a great job.
Phenomenal.
Baseball guru. Never misses an assignment. I mean, this one buckled down dude. He's not going to blow off an assignment to just hang out with his friends. Not going to catch him sitting around with Ro Khan pounding down beers in the middle of a work night. It won't happen. Won't happen.
Don't forget Anna and Lauren, too.
Well, they can pound down beers. Kevin Powell joins us now. You weren't involved with that Ro Khan beer fest last night at Wrigley, were you?
No beer fest. I don't think anybody was drinking beer, to be honest with you. Definitely not me, Steve.
Sounds a little tired, Steve.
Did you cover the game, or did you just go to your little row party?
Little row party. I covered the game, Steve. Yeah, I was just went down, sat with them for a few innings because they were front row seats and they were awesome. So I went down there, then went back up to the press box and then watched Eloy Jimenez launch one of the most memorable, unforgettable moments in White Sox history, that's for sure.
So how did Ro Khan get front row seats at a Cubs game? I don't know if you heard, but the Cubs, they're not with us anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. You'd have to ask Ro. He just said, I've got front row seats. I said, cool. I'll be down in a bit. So.
Now, this goes. No, wait, well, hold on a second. Don't make me break out the Zapruder film here. I happen to know that Ro asked someone who looked like Dave Ennett if it'd be okay if you blew off work and hung out with him.
Yesterday?
Yes, that's exactly right. Dave Ennett was asked by Ro Khan to get you out of work so you could hang out with Ro.
Last night? I didn't blow off work. I was at the Cubs game, sat in the seat for a few innings, and then went back to the press box.
I just don't feel like you could have given 100% effort to your coverage of the game if you're hanging out with that degenerate Ro Khan.
Serious backpedal going on here, Steve. You can hear it in his voice.
You could hear the beeping, couldn't you?
Yeah.
With the truck backing up?
It's unbelievable.
I'm glad we've launched this investigation, despite it being one of the great moments for White Sox over the past, 10 years.
Look at you changing the subject. So you feel this is a witch hunt?
Yeah, a bit of a witch hunt, Steve. I do. I'm calling witch hunt on this.
So you're probably right about that, actually, unlike when it's normally used. All right, so Eloy Jimenez, a great moment, home run in the ninth. You know, I mean, I got to go 2005. There are a lot of great moments. Is this really one of the great White Sox moments of all time?
At least probably the past 10 years. I mean, probably since that Jim Thome homer in 2008 in the blackout game. Look, if anybody hit the two-run homer, a go-ahead two-run homer in the top of the ninth in the Crosstown Series at Wrigley under the lights in front of a packed house, it's a huge deal. The fact that it was Eloy Jimenez, the guy that, huge part of this rebuild, obviously, and of course was brought over in the Jose Quintana trade, makes it that much more special for the Sox. Not to mention, it was a broken bat homer. It's unbelievable. It was a pretty wild moment for the Sox.
Now you got Lucas Giolito tonight, who doesn't lose. There's a chance the White Sox win this series, maybe sweep this series.
I think so. Cal gets him back to 500, Giolito's been, you know, he's basically in the top three, top five in just about every statistical category in the American League. He looks like he could be the starter for the American League team in the All-Star game. And he's pitching with a ton of confidence. So, yeah, I think there's a really good shot the Sox take two at Wrigley. But it's going to be a good one. It's Lester versus Giolito. Lester hasn't been great over his past three, four, five starts. So, Sox with a really good chance to sweep the Cubs here.
Kev, I don't know if you had a chance to go to both the Cubs and the White Sox clubhouses yesterday, but reportedly the Cubs clubhouse was super quiet as it has been. Chris Bryant was apologizing for not running out of pop-up. He should have been on second base. He didn't expect to drop, was on first base. There's and I know the Cubs never panic, but it seems like there's a little bit of, I don't know, irritation going on in that clubhouse right now.
Yeah, I actually was listening to the Sox clubhouse, but listening back to the Cubs audio, and yeah, I kind of got that sense too, Carm, where they were kind of annoyed, a little bit deflated. I mean, you just got Eloy Jimenez just belted the go-ahead homer of the ninth when the Cubs had plenty of chances throughout the game, and the offense has kind of gone cold here. So, it's the second half last year for the Cubs. It was all offensive trouble for them, and the offense doesn't look great right now.
So, is this a 500 team? Is this better than a 500 team?
I don't know. It's giving a lot of Sox fans a lot of optimism, obviously, and they're playing with a lot of confidence in. They're not going down easy. I mean, taking two from the Yankees at home, that's a first-place team. Then you come into Wrigley and you win like this. They're not that far out of it, you know, especially in a division where you can pick up a lot of wins against teams like, you know, Detroit or Kansas City. They've played Cleveland tough as well. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be interesting this summer for sure, because I don't think they're going away. And if they win tonight, they're back to 500. Then they've got Texas coming up, who's in front of them in the American League wild card. So they could go into the All-Star break with a ton of momentum.
Super Joe, there's no bigger White Sox fan than you. What's your level of belief in the White Sox being better than a 500 team?
I'd say it's pretty high, considering they still have, you know, guys in the pipeline. Zach Collins just got called up. Carm's talked about him in the sports report. That's actually the guy that I've been looking forward to seeing. Kev, is there any chance that he plays tonight?
I think they're probably, considering there's another lefty on the mound in Lester, they might wait till this weekend to give him a start, because there were some opportunities last night for Collins to pinch hit against a righty reliever. Collins hits righties very well, lefties not so much. So I don't know if they just wait for the right situation to just give him a start rather than to throw him in there in a pinch hitting situation. But I wouldn't completely rule it out, you know, in an interleague game and in a National League park. There's a shot we could see him. And then to Joe's point, I mean, Dylan Cease is going to give them, at some point, he's going to get called up within the next 2, 3, 4 weeks here, and that gives them a starting pitcher that they really do need. So, there are still some guys coming as well.
So you don't think they're going to sell off come the deadline and trade some of those bullpen parts? Because that would be the biggest concern from my standpoint as far as them really actually making a push. It's going to be a tough decision for Rick Hahn.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's a good question, Carm. I don't know if they're necessarily going to be sellers. I definitely don't think they're going to be buyers, but I don't know. I mean, Alex Colome, the closer, has been pretty much lights out all season. And if you get a desperate team who desperately needs a late-inning guy, you kind of got to listen to offers, don't you? But at the same time, Colome is a guy where you have control of him next year as well. And with the way this season's trending, all of a sudden next year's looking like a pretty competitive year, a playoff-type year for the White Sox. So it is an interesting question for Rick Hahn. I think for the most part they just kind of, you know, stand pat. I don't think they're going to make any major moves or any sort of major sell-off.
Let's go on this. How much sound came out of the crowd when Jimenez hit that home run? How many White Sox fans were there?
There was a ton. I mean, that was an unbelievable moment, you know, for just Chicago baseball. It was there was a lot of "Let's go White Sox" cheers on the, you know, walking through the concourse as fans were filing out of that game. That was
and I've been going to White Sox. I've been going to Crosstown Classic games for years, 25 years, as long as there've been Crosstown Classic games. There's at least one good fist fight in the stands for every one of these games. I didn't see any of that.
I didn't see any of it either.
I saw a lot of love.
Yeah, it was a great night just for Chicago baseball. I think I realize Cubs fans are obviously frustrated, but it was jam-packed, over 41,000 at Wrigley last night. Perfect night for baseball. It was, and for White Sox fans, they're never going to forget that one.
The big shooters were out last night, Steve. Victor, who leads Guaranteed Rate, was out there. Rokan, Kevin Powell. I didn't see the King Scott Steven out there, but I did see, and there was some good chanting. Some, you know, let's go Cubs, let's go White Sox. Like, they were both going at each other. It was awesome. Great environment.
I don't know if my staff would go out on outings with me without, you know, being like Roe and forcing you to go. Grzanich, would you go on an outing with me?
Depends on the outing.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Mary?
As long as it's not golf.
Yeah.
Joe? You said with you?
Yeah, or? With me. Yeah, not the one just I pay for, but with me.
Yeah.
You want to get back to me?
Yeah.
I think if you got front row Cubs tickets, I'd go for sure.
That's what I'm saying, except we'd be there at 4 in the morning, so wouldn't be watching much.
I'm in, Steve. Even if it's Gordon Lightfoot or whatever we were promoting earlier today, I'd go.
Hey, who's up for a Gordon Lightfoot field trip?
Let's go.
All right, Kev. Nice job as always.
Steve, I'd go out with you for sure.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Thanks for having me, Kev.
It's Kevin Powell, and on every afternoon with Roe, baseball guru, and he really does do a great job.
He's still smoozing you, even though he ditched the show.
Oh, he should definitely suck up. Roe could drop him like a bad habit.
Yeah.
It's 7:52. somebody stop me from saying ridiculous things. Roe's going to be on the show later.
Right after 9:30.
Yeah. At 7:52.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Hawks convention passes. Not one, not two, not three, but four. Four convention passes to the sold-out Blackhawks convention. Very simply, you simply need to pick up the phone and simply call. And when you call, be the right caller. Super Joe, what caller?
Caller number 74 for our boy, Eloy.
70, okay, that's fine. Caller 74. This should be fun for Michael Heidemann. Michael, start answering phone calls. You only got to get through 74 of them. 312-981-7200 is the number. You're going to win four convention passes. I promise you, I'm going to get to this Donald Trump sound. Last night, President Trump announced his 2016 campaign. And yes, that's exactly what I meant to say, because he just repeated the same crap he's been saying for 4 years. It's lie, rinse, and repeat. Or rinse, lie, and repeat. And we'll get some of that audio from last night's Kukachoo speech coming up. First at 7:57 in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. There's Steve Grzanich, and he'll be next. We're just talking about the White Sox and the Cubs. Our friend Ed Farmer's on the mend, not feeling great, but he'll be back. So we want to wish Ed a whole lot of luck and speedy recovery. In the meantime, Andy Mazur doing a great job for Ed and all of our guys out there, including you, Carms.
Well, thanks, Steve.
The Steve Cochran Show. Cochran Show.
All right, still to come on this show, Rokan later, Miguel Cervantes plays Hamilton. He's a lead in the Chicago production of Hamilton. And he's Mark Carman's new best friend. He's going to be in studio next hour.
Steve, he's bringing in a golf product that I think is going to really excite you. He's not only an actor, but he's an innovator.
All right.
Entrepreneur.
I got to play golf with him. I didn't know he was nuts for golf.
He's pretty into the old golf. He's one of the... Do you have the app on your phone so it tells you how far the pin is from where your ball is, all that?
Oh, Mark, there are many ways to get that done. There's the app on the phone. There's the wristwatch that tells you. There's a traditional range finder. I happen to have two of those in my bag right now.
See,
point and shoot.
Steve, I mean this with great respect. I hate golfers. They're so annoying.
Why are golfers annoying?
Because you all are mediocre to generally like bad athletes.
Well, hold on, you don't see me play.
I'm sure you're great, but like
I'm not great. I'm better than bad.
Oh, it's 179. That means that I'm going to take a nice 3-quarter swing with my 7-iron, and which way is the wind blowing? And as if you can actually read the greens. Just get up there. You're Saturday morning, whatever golfer. You're not good at sports. Just hit the ball and move along. Enough with the 7 practice swings.
You wonder why you suck. No, the practice swing.
Kids.
The practice swing thing is ridiculous. I don't take a practice swing.
Okay, good.
Hit the ball.
Just get up there.
Hit the ball.
Quit standing over your putt.
Having said that, there's nothing wrong with knowing how far you have to hit the ball. It helps you pick a club. You have to know which way the wind is blowing. That's part of it. You're telling me if the wind's blowing in the middle of a tennis match, that's not a concern to you on how you play a shot?
Not really. I mean, yes, okay, fine, a little bit, sure.
Okay, but just hit the ball. Stop worrying about the wind. Just hit the ball.
Don't compare tennis to golf. Tennis is an elite sport played by elite athletes.
Played by elitists.
That we do have in common.
Actually, and you remember the last time Mark Carmen was on the Steve Cochran show?
Yeah.
It's happening like
right now.
I know
it's going on right in front
is.
Of you.
Just look in front of you. There's the hole. If you can't figure out how far it is, just take a kick.
So you don't have the patience to play the greatest game ever invented.
Not really, no.
Yeah,
you're accurate there.
Is it an ADD thing?
Maybe. Mm. Let's go.
Okay.
Oh, Mark. Finally, someone after my own heart.
So, that's Mark Carmen. Completely wrong about golf, but right about the other things that matter. Did I mention that Jisoo Kim is coming in as well? She was one of the stars of Windy City Live and is doing a thing for the Sun-Times we wanted to plug, so she'll be in for that. Talking about that in a few minutes. All that coming up. What's the status of Dean Richards? We're waiting on him?
Isn't 2 minutes. He in London?
Yep. Two more minutes?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's not tap dance. Let's take a break, come back, and get him.
Okay.
We'll come back, and Dean will be live from London, first at 8:13. More in a moment. An actual moron entertainment. International moron entertainment is next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey. You know I love you more than one action. Yeah, honey. Or kiss me, kiss me.
Moron Entertainment goes international. Live from London. Dean Richards joins us. All right, what was the delay? Were you a hostage? What happened?
No, we were just getting in a place where we could get cell service.
Okay. Well, it's London. Shouldn't you get cell service everywhere?
You would think so, but some of the tall castles, some of the fire-breathing dragons and the tall castles are not conducive to excellent cell service.
Well, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's a good logical explanation. A lot of people say, Steve, and I say, what? They say, can Moron Entertainment be international? And I say, yes, it can. And Dean, you are in London for what reason?
I am in London, England, here covering the trip of President Trump, who is, I haven't been able to find him anywhere.
I think he's left. I think he was there before. However,
what?
The twitch of local Londoners may still be present. They may not have gotten over it.
You know what? It's very interesting being here a week after he was here. There is quite a bit of Donald Trump's sentiment here in London.
And by sentiment, you don't mean positivity.
I have not talked to anybody who has any positive sentiment yet. I'm sure.
I talked to the Queen last night, and she said, "Oh, don't let him come back."
It's very much on people's minds here. His visit very much on people's minds when they apparently I have an accent here. I don't notice it myself, but. When they realize that I'm from the U.S., they feel compelled to tell me what they think of our president.
I think I told you this when we were in New York last August or September, whenever it was. Paul Coit and his family met us there, and Paul Coit, with his very British accent, was stopped by three or four different families and individuals, probably five New Yorkers, who said, hey, you're from London, right? Yeah, you're from England, right? Hey, just so you know, none of us like this guy. None of us voted for him. All right? It's not our fault.
There is a little bit of sentiment like that also, where people feel compelled to apologize. But I say, everybody's entitled to their opinion, whatever they like. Here's what's distressing to me right now. Well, I'm right as I speak to you, Steve. I am standing in front of the famous Tower Bridge.
Oh,
it's
sure.
Overwhelming to see him. It's really quite beautiful and very historic, and obviously a big tourist area. So we're standing here, and we've got cameras and like that. and you know, I'm recording some things, and people are saying, you know, coming up, I go, oh, are you from the United States? And they heard me say WGN, and they're like, oh, I'm from here, I'm from there. A lot of people from the Midwest who listen to and watch WGN have come up and say hello, except one guy who is from St. Louis and gave me the business about the Cubs. The Cubs and the Cardinals. You can't let that go. You're on an international trip.
You're on an amazing trip to London, and you want to talk Cubs Cardinals? Back it down.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he comes over here and he's like giving me stuff about the rivalry. And I said that you know, beyond international borders, the rivalries don't count. But that
yeah, right,
stop
right,
him.
Right. Go back to your room. Literally, go back to your room. All right,
yeah, go find a Kentucky Fried Chicken somewhere and enjoy some lovely food.
So here's the thing: I don't know that in all the trips you make to London, and you got some scam running over there. I think it involves Bitcoin because you're over there about once a month. But I don't know that you ever get a chance to do the touristy things. Is this one of the few times you've done it?
No, not at all. This is a super short trip. Actually, I have done the touristy.
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
When I've been here on my own dime, I've been here and enjoyed London. It's a beautiful historic city, but these last couple of times I haven't had time. This one is particularly short.
Were you surprised?
Got here yesterday. Saw the movie Spider-Man Far
okay.
From Home.
Yep,
the new Spider-Man movie, which is awesome, by the way.
Oh.
I'll tell you much more about it when I get back, because I think I would violate some sort of movie studio protocol by telling you about it while I'm on foreign soil. But it's awesome, and I will tell you this: that if you saw Avengers Endgame, this movie picks up off of that, and it's like a continuation of Avengers Endgame. But when I get back, I'll tell you a lot more about that. But also here also to interview the cast, which I did this morning, Jake Gyllenhaal, who is in the movie, Tom Holland, who is the amazing new young Spider-Man, actress Zendaya, Samuel L. Jackson, because I interview him about every 2 weeks now. He's got that many movies that are coming out. So did all the interviews this morning. We're doing a few things, recording a few things this afternoon. And I come back tomorrow, and I'll be back. I'll be in the air at this time tomorrow.
So you'll be back on with us on Friday.
I'll be back with you live on Friday.
All right. So a couple of questions: when you saw Samuel L. Jackson and he saw you, I'm sure he gave you a bro hug, but did he also say, "I don't want to do any more mother effing interviews"?
Well, I said I came in and I said, I hope you know that I'm going to come and find you wherever you are over 2 weeks, and we're going to sit down and talk. He goes, well, after today, you're good luck finding me. I don't have any movies coming out till the end of the year.
Oh, well, I think you should take that as a challenge, and you will find him. You'll be like Liam Neeson. I will find you. You have a particular set of skills, Dean Richards, and you will find him.
I will find him, but any time that we can bring up the snakes on a plane reference, I'm always very happy.
It's always solid. Now, the other thing I want to mention is when the first time you saw the Tower of London, like me, were you surprised that it's only about 6 feet tall?
It's odd. You have to bend over. You have to, like, you know, crouch down a little bit.
It's not a big tower.
It's not as big as you would think that it would be, no.
Yeah, and to think that's where tortures took place, it must have been only short people that they tortured.
That's what I learned, that they, you know, back, I don't know when, they used to behead people and then hang their heads on the Tower Bridge as an example to other people that you shouldn't misbehave.
I think that was the 50s. Yeah, a long time
ago. They were so restrictive. You know, back in the 1950s, it was so restrictive that way.
Now, here's the thing. While you're there, they could be elevating a new prime minister, and it could be this guy Boris Johnson, who's got a Pete Rose haircut. Is anybody talking about that?
They didn't refer to it in quite in that way, but I did see him. And listen to this. I'm going to work in some local jargon here, Steve. I saw him on the telly today.
Oh, did you?
He was on one of the breakfast shows on the telly, and that's actually the first thing that I thought of, that he looks like Pete Rose / Mo from the Three Stooges.
All right, so enjoy the rest of your day. I hope the weather is delightful, and please say hello to the Queen.
I'll have some fish and chips in your name.
So, by the way, this is all sponsored by Ravinia. You're coming back tomorrow. What's the rest of the day today?
Today we have recordings that we're doing, some little tapings and things like that that we're doing today. And I think after that, that's it. I like to roam the streets and sing songs from the movie Oliver Twist.
I'm sure the locals really appreciate it.
I love walking around and just talking as though I'm out of a Charles Dickens novel. People love that here.
Yeah, they don't feel like it's a pat on the head.
I like to reinforce that obnoxious American stereotype that we have as much as possible.
We do have back here in the States, as we call it, a bachelorette bombshell this morning.
Oh.
Jed Wyatt's ex says they were dating when he went on the show. I know. I'm just as shocked as you are. If I knew who any of these people were or if I cared.
That's scandalous. If I knew who they were or if I cared. Mary's a big fan of The Bachelor.
Yeah, what does that mean to you, Mary?
I quit watching the show, Dean.
Oh, wow.
I finally turned it. I couldn't take it anymore. I said,
this enough is said.
A, yeah, so I don't know who these enough people said. Are either, even though it's still taping, so I'm really, really, like, I look at it on TV, I go, oh, I should watch it. No, I'm not going to.
Good. You hold the line.
So no. Yep.
HBO's Game of Thrones began shooting the prequel this week.
Prequel, yeah, I did hear that. Hey, I should go visit them while I'm here.
Yeah, because they're doing it there.
Yeah, I should go see if they need a cameo from a bald guy with glasses.
And the good news is, in case you haven't seen the video, Taylor Swift and Katy Perry have settled their grievances. No more East Coast, West Coast, no more gunfire.
I heard that. Didn't they do, they both did the video for the song that Taylor Swift did for the celebration of Pride Month?
Yeah, and Taylor Swift was dressed like French fries, and Katy Perry was dressed like ketchup. Of course they were.
Oh, that's beautiful.
See how they always go together? See what they did there? So there you go. All right, again, have a great time there in London with all of your British friends, and if you see Paul Coit, tell him we said hello.
Spend the rest of the day looking for him.
Yeah, it'll be easy to find. That's Dean live from London. That's Moron Entertainment, and that again is sponsored by Ravinia. So that's quite a little gig Dean has going, don't you think?
Not a bad life that Dean has created for himself.
You know, he's flying off to LA, he's flying to London, he's hanging out, he's got Samuel Jackson cursing at him. He's got a lot of fun going on.
He makes people just he brings out their best, Steve. How's that?
You think so?
Well, I mean, close to their best.
Coming soon, it's the Channel 9 Back to School Fest that they do.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to be involved in that. You know, big morning Back to School Fest thing that they're doing. They do it every year.
Didn't we just get to summer?
School's not even out yet.
I mean, what are you doing?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, well, it's in August.
Yeah, but kids right now, they're excited. Summer's coming, and you're like already throwing out Back to School.
I'm doing a plug. I'm in show business. And there's other things with Channel 9 we're doing. We're doing more stuff with Channel 9. That's the plug.
Oh, okay.
You know, and we're glad about
that. That's a good thing.
Again, Dean, sponsored by Ravinia. More Entertainment, sponsored by Ravinia. So my daughter-in-law's been trying to get me to get a place in the city. I may have found it. Now, I'm only about $44,500 a month short on the rent. But there's a new triple tower complex called Town Park. It's on Well Street. And a $45,000 a month rental is now the most expensive rental in the city. This would be the equivalent of the mortgage on an $8.2 million house. The agent for At Properties said, we expect to rent it to a CEO or a professional athlete. The renter can sign a one-year lease or go month to month. Well, if it's $45,000 a month, month to month, it's got to be what, 72.5? They got to make a little bonus off that, right? Month to month is always more expensive. One end of the main living space on the 31st floor, you got a bar and media room.
Nice.
On a slightly raised mezzanine that gives the intimacy of a library in a suburban mansion. Concealed behind the kitchen with a vast quartz-topped island is a second kitchen for prep work for your caterers.
Gotta have that.
Oh my gosh. Really?
I bet it has one of those gold toilets, doesn't it?
Well, of course it does. Yeah. $45,000 a month seems a tad high. It's a cool apartment, though. Last night, President Trump announced his 2016 run for the president. I say that because it's the exact same crap he's been saying since he came down the escalator in 2015. And honestly, who could fault him? I mean, if he's got 30% of the country, 35% of the country buying that BS, then keep repeating it. For instance, NBC News political reporter Monica Alba last night spoke to a Trump voter. Listen.
He's just, for a our freedom. We don't want socialistic policies. We want to be free.
Any disappointments or frustrations?
No, none at all. None at all. I hope we have the next four with him, and then after that, I hope his son runs.
Did an excellent job. Excellent. You guys need to back off. Leave him alone. It's truth.
What's the main reason you'll vote for him again?
The main reason? Because he's one of the best presidents that we've had for a very long time. Very long time. He doesn't lie. I know y'all say he does. He doesn't.
Any concerns about the Democratic opponents and what kind of a matchup he might face?
They don't have a leg to stand on.
He doesn't lie. He has lied verifiably almost 11,000 times since he became president. I mean, you can't fight with anyone who believes to that level. You can't get anyone who believes to that level to tell you specifically what Donald Trump has done for them. However, I can tell you what he's done to this country. There was a recurring announcement regarding how to silence protesters at the Trump rally. You remember in 2016, during the campaign when he ran, he'd tell other people in the crowd, punch him, things like that. Well, there's a big voice, if you will, a voice in the background, if you will. It's a little tough to hear, but listen to this. This ran as people were walking in. That's right. If you don't like what's being said, go outside to the protester pen. Donald Trump paid for it. If you don't like it, go outside.
You missed one of the big promises from last night, Steve.
Which was?
He promised that he would cure cancer.
There's a clip that's important to run, too, of Junior saying before in the run-up, you know, the opening speeches, the crowd hype moments. Junior making fun of Joe Biden, saying Joe Biden was even going to cure cancer. Why didn't you do it in the 50 years you've been around, Joe? And then his daddy, Donald Trump, the president of the United States, throwing it in. Do you have that clip, Steve?
I don't have it handy, no.
All right, if you can find it, I want to play that as well. And see if you can find Junior for me as well, if you don't mind. Here's a few more from last night's festivities. I cannot begin to tell you how much damage he's done by ripping the FBI and using the term fake news over and over again. If you don't want anybody to have any impact on the rest of the politics in this country, well, you have no idea what you're asking for. That's what fake news does. Here's a bit of that from last night. It's cut one. Thanks.
This was a defining moment in American history. Ask them right there.
The chant, if you can't make it out of CNN, sucks. I hate to break it to you. CNN has been covering what Donald Trump has said and done. How dare they? The rinse, lie, and repeat continues. Give me cut two here. This is on opening borders.
We're fighting against the same far-left politicians that ravaged our great cities and crushed the dreams of African-American middle class. The same people who threw open our borders and allowed drugs, gangs, and illegal labor to devastate our poorest American communities.
See, the problem is when you continue to lie about things and you have the Democrats who don't have the guts to stand up and fight for what's actually truthful in this case, I don't care what party you belong to. You should belong to the truth. And when Trump continues to say Democrats want open borders, they want drugs and violent people to overrun the country, it's more than irresponsible. It's more than a lie. It's dangerous. How about draining the swamp, Joe? You got anything on that?
They called you and us. You remember this? They called us deplorables. Many times I said we would drain the swamp, and that's exactly what we're doing right now. We're draining the swamp.
Drain the swamp. Drain the Swamp chants, 33-plus Trump appointees with ethic violations investigations going on. The Trump charity disbanded because of its illegal and irregular, to be kind, activities. The Trump family all using the presidency to increase their own personal wealth, ethically wrong and borderline, if not completely illegal. Paul Manafort in jail, now protected from going to Rikers Island because the president may still be concerned that he's going to go bad on him. Michael Cohen in jail. Gates, Papadopoulos, Stone all have done time or are about to do time. And that's just scratching the surface. Quite a job draining the swamp. He hasn't drained the swamp. He's restocked the swamp. And jump to cut five, if you would, for me, Joe. Cut five. This is also from last night's festivities.
If you want to know how the system is rigged, just compare how they came after us for 3 years with everything they have versus the free pass they gave to Hillary and her aides after they set up an illegal server, destroyed evidence, deleted and acid-washed 33,000 emails, exposed classified information, and turned the State Department into a pay-for-play cash machine.
Again, I hate to bring the truth into an argument like this, but the inspector generals, there's been more than one, and the FBI have turned this investigation inside out. And the head of the FBI, James Comey, stood up in front of the country and got Donald Trump elected when he told the truth about Hillary Clinton, even if it was irregular for the FBI director to do it. She was a terrible candidate. She had absolute shady moves when it came to how she handled her emails and other things. The FBI also said there's nothing criminal that we can move on. Well, you don't hear that out of the president's mouth, do you? Who's still haunted by this woman who has been gone for years. Let her die. Let her go. Move on. And by the way, the president's son and the president's daughter and the president's son-in-law all continue to use private email. Again, she's not the president. You are. Grow up. There's one more I want to play for you. Go back to cut one from the original set there, Joe, if you would. I'll give Donald Trump credit for this. He is no different than he was 30 years ago. Donald Trump in 1987... doing a book, and he's talking about running for president possibly in the upcoming election. Here's Donald Trump in 1987. Music added, by the way.
Who are your favorite authors?
Well, I have a number of favorite authors. I think Tom Wolfe is excellent.
Did you read Vanity of the Bonfires?
I did not.
It's a phenomenal book.
What book are you reading now?
Well, I'm Bonfire of the Vanities.
I'm reading my own book again because I think it's so fantastic, Tom.
What's the best book you've read beside Art of the Deal?
I really like Tom Wolfe's last book, and I think he's a great author. He's done a beautiful job.
Which book?
His current book. He's just his current book. It's just out.
Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yes. And the man has done a very, very good job. And I really can't hear with his earphone, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I can't hear. That's why I just said I didn't read the book that I said I just read. It's just you can't make it up. That's the guy in charge of America for now. Democrats, get your heads out of your butts, please. It's 8:47. More in a moment on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
All right, it's 8:50. We continue. Jason Case here, and of course, Windy City Live is where a lot of you got to know her. Since then, she's been doing a lot of different things, including working for the Sun-Times in their fabulous digital/video/what department. Is there a name for that?
Well, it's called The Grid, and then now I'm doing a Neighborhood Eats feature, and then I'm also doing a feature called The Sip, which is all about imbibing in Chicagoland.
So you've basically been able to work out a way where you could booze it up for free. Is that what we're talking about?
Basically, yes. Yeah, okay. But you can't go overboard, you know.
No, not until you get home with the free stuff. The new one is about Payless Park?
Yes. So I put out on Facebook to folks that lived in the Payless Park, Orland Park area, where should I go? And a lot of people came back and told me the original Island Shrimp House. Now, with a name like that, it sounds like it's been around for a really long time.
It does.
But it's only been around for a year. And part of the clever marketing and the name comes from the owner. He is a former patent attorney, and his name is Kim Tim Kiefer.
Okay.
And he grew up on the East Coast, and he felt like he didn't really have a lot of options in terms of really great seafood, and so he opened this place in Palos Park.
And did you eat?
I did. It was really good.
Is it all seafood, or is it a little bit of everything?
He has hamburgers there for people that don't want seafood, but okay. But definitely his big claim to fame is incredibly fresh, sustainable, wild-caught, mostly U.S. origin seafood.
Wow.
So he's bringing like the best of the best, the quality you find at an upper crust restaurant in the city.
Pricey?
Not too bad. Not really. No? Very casual. It's a fast casual style. So you go up to the counter, you order, and then you take it to the table.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like really high-end quality seafood, but very affordable because of the way he's, the environment that he's serving it in.
Does that work? I'm trying to picture that. Because if you have super high quality food and you're ordering like in cafeteria style... But it does work.
Yeah, but I mean, it's nicer than a cafeteria. I mean,
cafeteria style.
Yes, gotcha.
For lack of a better way of describing it.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he's got lines out the door. I mean, and then Fridays he has this deep fished cod that's flown in from Norway, and it's line caught, not net caught, which is better for the environment. And it's all you can eat for $19.99, and it's these two giant fillets of cod or halibut or whatever.
And they're deep cod, as in deep thinking cod, or
yes,
they swim
brilliant.
Or they
they're
swim deeper.
They swim deeper. They think deeper. They have a very strong emotional
sure.
IQ.
I don't know a lot about a cod, but would that mean they swim in deeper water? So therefore,
yes,
they're their different taste or something?
Yeah, I think that, you know, and then they're line caught, which is really big. So individually caught on a fishing pole line.
All right, and I assume the shrimp portion of that name, the original Island Shrimp House shrimp, is a specialty of some kind?
Yes, they have fried, they have boiled, they have smoked, and the boiled is like peel and eat, and you can get 5 different flavors.
Carms, are you ever a fan of boiled shrimp? Boiled shrimp is like lobster to me. It takes too much work.
Yeah, I like the shrimp chilled myself, Steve, the jumbo cocktail.
How about you, Marcia? You like boiled shrimp? It's a lot of work. You know what I'm saying?
I'll pass on that.
Yeah. Mm. I want somebody
I'll
else
take.
Peel it for me.
But this,
this you is, can get it peeled.
Yeah.
This is new for me, though, Steve. The line caught thing. Like, there was the farm raise. You don't want to do the farm raise. You want the wild Alaskan salmon. But now we're going to line caught, which seems like a... But that's like the next level of
wild
something.
Line-caught seafood.
Right.
Yes.
That's the best.
That's the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you. All right. Now, the other piece of this you were just talking about is the sip.
Yes.
And you went to Spiaggia.
Yes. Which this year they were nominated for the James Beard Award in the Outstanding Wine Program. You know, Tony Mantuano's place has been around for over 35 years.
Yeah. I used to go to Spiaggia quite a bit.
Ah, very nice. Did you have a special table by like the window?
I did not. And I'm still angry. But no, I don't know why I quit going. I guess because I didn't live in town as much as
yeah.
I did then. But no, I recommend it, obviously.
Well, I'm pretty much a wine novice. Like, I didn't...
You like wine.
I do, but I don't know much about wine.
Okay.
I mean, I've been known to drink wine out of a box before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I went and talked to Rachel Lowe, who is the sommelier. Yes, sommelier.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, it's close enough.
It's close enough?
Yeah.
And she's fabulous. I mean, she's not the picture of what you would think like a fine dining som might be.
Okay.
Very approachable, very gregarious. And she says that you shouldn't be afraid to call the som over. I would never go to a restaurant and wave the som over.
Well, do you agree that the tasting of the wine is one of the most intimidating experiences you can have when you're just going out to eat with your friends? And, you know, I just go, listen, no. No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to swish it. I'm not going to stick my nose in it to get the bouquet. I'm not going to do your little wine dance. Did you get it out of the back? Is it a new bottle? Then it's fine. That's it. I'll take a sip.
Well,
that's
you know,
it.
I learned a little bit about why you do all of those things and also why you even drink wine with food. Like, it pairs very well with food because of the fact that the wine helps you. For example, if you start off with champagne or sparkling, the bubbles and sort of it makes your mouth salivate. It gets your taste buds ready for the meal. It preps you for the meal. And then sometimes why you drink a big, you know, Bordeaux with a lot of heavy tannins with a steak is because mm-hmm. the tannins help break down the fat. So it's kind of, you're thinking about the...
So it's not just taste. There's
yeah.
a reason, a scientific
yes.
reason.
Chemically.
For the
Yes.
But you don't really believe what you just said, right?
I do. I do. You know why? Because if Rachel were here, because she is so darn adorable, you guys would believe her too. And you'd be calling her over.
Uh-huh. I don't know if I've ever been to a restaurant that has a somm.
Yeah, somm.
A sommelier.
Where do they hang out? The closet in the back? The sommelier?
No, they bring your bottle out and you know, or the waiter brings it out and the sommelier comes over and tries to sell it.
They know a lot about wine.
Yeah, they're the wine experts.
There's even schools to go to.
Absolutely.
Become a sommelier.
Yes.
All right, we'll come back more in a second, and you'll explain to us why everything you just said with booze is so important, and where you can pair your Mad Dog 2020 with a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. At 8:57, the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where Steve will be in a second. All right, G-Suki was trying to explain to us why wine works with food.
I'm learning something, Steve.
A big body Bordeaux helps break down the steak?
Yes, the fat in the steak.
Okay.
So the more tannins in the wine...
The heartier the meal.
Yes, and it'll help you break down the fat. So you pair those together. That's what I learned from Rachel Lowe, who's the somm at Spiaggia.
What did she teach you about white wine?
White wine, she said that, you know, that it can run the gamut between, you know, something light and minerally and bright to something that's buttery and rich, like a Chardonnay, like a oaked Chardonnay.
So when you're talking to her, because see, there's a lot of folks, and certainly
she... I don't want to turn anybody off. I know wine is, sounds
no,
really
she
snooty.
Sounds, she sounds totally cool, because she can talk about anything, right?
Right.
But the wine aficionados are like art aficionados in that they know too much at times. And, you know, if some stiff is telling you, I'll order the wine. Everyone just trust me. I'll order the wine. Those are the people you don't want to have dinner with.
Right.
Those are the people that should sit in the car.
Yeah. And instead of letting those people talk at dinner, just say, hey, wave the somm over. The thing is, she wants to be approachable. Call her over even if you just want to order one glass. If you're like, hey, I don't know what to pair with this, call her over.
Call her over to ask questions like, why do I have to stick my nose in the wine?
Exactly.
So did she teach you how to do the tasting?
Yes. I mean, you do swirl the wine.
You swirl, you dip your nose in.
Yes. You actually dip your nose in first.
Oh, you do. So you nose...
And
you
then dip, swirl.
Dip, swirl, and sip.
Yes, and then you, I think
you
even
you got to
like,
look at the color, though, too, don't you?
Yes, you stick your nose in first, swirl, then stick your nose in again to see the difference in the smell after the swirl, because it kind of releases the
So dip,
bouquet.
Swirl, dip, sip.
Yes, this is a dance.
Come on. Dip, swirl, dip, sip.
If you're dealing with a slight congestion issue, then is there a plan B?
Well, no. Then you probably shouldn't touch the other people's wine.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. It
could be contagious.
Got it.
But I think she's somebody that you could, you know, have PBRs with at the bar. In addition to, I mean, I think she could sell you a $6,000 bottle of wine if that was something that would float your
boat.
Well,
it's a handy skill. There's no question about it. And where does she work?
At Spiaggia.
At Spiaggia. All right, so we can see these new features done by Jisuki where?
On suntimes.com under the grid and taste sections, which you have to click all the way to the right under the banner, under the button more.
All right, so look.
So easy to find, Steve. Really easy. Click I've gotten prime placement, let me tell you.
So click on more, and then click on grid, and then you'll see. I assume all your stuff's up there, right?
Yes, it
okay.
is.
Okay, all right. It'll be worth the find. Miguel Cervantes coming up, the lead in Hamilton. Gee, stick around, and let's grill him together.
Oh, love to.
Stand by for that.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 720 WGA.
Miguel Cervantes from Hamilton, scheduled to appear, what, the next 20 or so, something like that?
He's parking, Steve.
Okay, so he'll be up here shortly. Jay Suki is here. My European vacation is coming up.
Wow.
And I'm bringing a bunch of listeners, and we're going to Prague. Have you ever been to Prague?
No.
You want to go?
Yeah. Can I come?
Okay, sure, whatever. We have one more trip to give away. This package includes sightseeing, round-trip air from Chicago, and a VIP ticket package to see the Blackhawks open the season with the Philadelphia Flyers in the Czech Republic. Is that a horrific Flyers mascot going to be on this trip?
Oh, I love, what's his name, Giggy?
Gritty.
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 You like Gritty? Gritty is the stuff of childhood nightmares.
Yes, but I don't know, Steve. It reminds me of my nightmare that was my childhood.
Wow. Okay, you brought that full circle. For your chance to win, go to WGNradio.com/trip and enter today. You got to do it by 11:59 tonight. So before midnight.
I think you and Gritty are going to bond.
I'm more of a Blackhawks guy. Tommy Hawk.
Tommy Hawk. Yeah. What about Benny the Bull? You like Benny the Bull?
Yeah. As far as mascots in town, I got to go Tommy Hawk first.
Clark the Cub?
Clark the Cub. Ever since he did that thing where he didn't have any pants on one of the logos, remember that?
No, I don't.
The Cub was this goofy looking, like friendly Cubs mascot.
Still is.
And the first image, he didn't have pants, right?
He still doesn't have pants.
Oh, he's still not wearing pants?
I don't think he wears pants.
Oh, but get pants.
Hold on. We've already gone too deep on the mascot list, and Benny the Bull hasn't been mentioned?
No, we talked about Benny the Bull.
Okay.
Benny the Bull would probably be second. Tommy Hawk, Benny the Bull. The Bears don't have a mascot.
No, they got Staley.
Yeah, Staley the Bear.
Staley the Bear.
I'm terrified of people in those costumes.
Do you have a costume thing?
I think so, yeah.
The clowns bother you?
Clowns really bother me.
You don't like clowns?
No. In fact, once on Windy City Live, they did an episode where
clowns were brought in?
Yes, for hours. I was forced to talk with clowns.
Oh, so they were trying to, like, what is that called? Flooding? Where
yes.
The psychological term where they show the scariest thing to you and you're supposed to get over it that way?
Absolutely. And my producers, you know, they were all certified
psychologists. Hilarious. So it didn't get any better, right?
No, I just, you know, I can be around clowns. I just can't make eye contact or talk to them for a long time.
Yeah, they freak you out. Yeah. Did you have a clown thing when you were a kid?
I think it had to do with it, and I think anything in costume, like a big furry costume.
Well, what's that big convention of Furbies that they do every year out in Rosemont? You know what
yes,
I'm talking about?
I do know.
That's like their worst nightmare for you.
It would be.
Like you'd just be staying at that hotel not knowing that convention was going to happen.
Yes, I would rather be in any other convention situation.
What is Staley the Bear?
He's a great bear. The best Staley moment ever was the double doink, and Staley was underneath the goalpost, and he just collapsed. It's a great, great moment in Staley time.
I mean, I've heard the term. How do I not know what Staley the Bear looks like?
Because he probably, maybe just Staley's an introvert. Doesn't do enough.
He is like a low-key mascot.
I mean, he's a bear that just hangs in the woods, apparently.
A lot of people confuse Bear Man for their mascot, the guy in the crowd who wears the
bear face,
the number 46 jersey, yeah, and the bear head. And that thing in Rosemont is Fur Fest.
Yes. You just don't know who's under there. And you don't know what kind of condition they're in or who they are or what they're up to.
And you don't know how dirty the costume is. That's what always grosses me out.
How sweaty
when
it is.
They're touching you and it's like, ooh, you know, where has this thing been?
I got to say, Staley's not a great mascot. I'm looking at him now. You're right about the costumes. And in this business, occasionally you do ridiculous things. And I once had to wear a couple different mascot costumes in another town. And, yeah, they're nasty. They're nasty.
Because how do you wash them?
Yeah, you can't dry clean it. No. Yeah.
So in the world of Cubs, in the world of mascots, is the bear, is the Cubby bear mascot, is he the son of Staley Bear? Is that how that works? Or
interesting question. Could
Clark?
Be.
Are they related? Is Clark Staley's relation in some way?
That'd be a good thing to throw Maury Povich. Right? See if the bear is the father of
paternity suit.
Clark.
The Bears used to play at Wrigley, so you never know.
It's possible. And why don't the White Sox have a mascot?
They do. It's Southpaw.
Southpaw.
Oh, Southpaw. They do. You're right.
When I was on the field, it was Southpaw's birthday. There was a mascot, like, basically convention there.
Yeah, you know what? I don't know how I forgot Southpaw. Southpaw's actually pretty good.
Oh, he's a great, great mascot.
So I'm going to go. Here's my rankings. I'm going to go, and tell me if you agree, G, because you're big on mascots, we've just determined. I'm going to go Tommy Hawk 1, Benny the Bull 2, Southpaw 3. I got to go Staley 4, and then No Pants Cubby 5.
Can we throw Willie the Wildcat in there, too? I mean, that's a legend right there.
Willie the Wildcat's good.
Yeah.
Solid effort by Willie the Wildcat.
The most terrifying mascot is Southpaw.
Southpaw scares you?
Yes.
The big green furry situation?
Yeah. It's kind of like a Muppet.
So, that's a good point.
Yeah.
How are you at Sesame Street shows?
Don't enjoy them.
Really?
Yeah.
Off the record knowledge, Southpaw's very popular these days. They had to hire extra Southpaws.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Well, listen, you got some free time. Not for you. Maybe that's the ultimate way to get over it. Get in the costume.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm not helping, am I? No. Not even a little.
I'm sweating already.
I'm sorry. It's 9:19. So anyway, enter on that Pucks and Prog situation tonight in Southpaw. I'm sorry, I forgot you. It was a momentary lapse. And to do the Pucks and Prog thing again, it's pretty simple. Go to WGNradio.com/trip and enter. Did you say you've been to Prague?
No.
You've never been to Prague?
I'm entering.
She's entering now.
You need a sports guy on that trip, Steve?
I was going to bring you, but G's coming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
On 720 WGN.
It is 9:23. Miguel Cervantes from Hamilton will join us in just a second. He's got a lot of things going on, including raising money to help fight the scourge of epilepsy in kids. He's got a daughter that battles with it, and we'll talk to him about that and other things coming up. Jason Key is here. Do you listen to podcasts?
You know, I don't listen to that many, and I want to get into it. I did listen to Serial. Which was a big one, you know.
It was a big one, but yeah. That went out like 5 years ago.
Yes, but I was very late to the game.
I need to get you up to date. Yeah. The reason I bring it up is the Steve Cochran Show Everything Podcast. Now, I call this the Everything Podcast because I've got ADD and I can't focus on one topic.
I'm so sorry. I do listen to your podcast.
No, you don't. But you could start, certainly. And if you, you Facebook, it's at Steve Cochran Show, at Steve Cochran Show on Instagram, at Cochran Show on Twitter. Any of those places you can get it. Anyway, the latest episode is me talking to Mr. Skin. Do you know about Mr. Skin?
No.
Mr. Skin is a guy from Chicago who, back in the late 90s, Harry Tynowitz. You may have crossed paths with Harry. Harry Tynowitz, in, I don't know, 1997, 1998, he runs into this guy. And he happens to be... Do you believe in savants? Like,
yes.
People that are experts in things?
Absolutely.
He happened to be a savant about nudity in film. Like, he could tell you exactly where a famous actress would be nude in a film. Now, keep in mind, this is before all of the access that you have in a couple of clicks now. So this is the late 90s. So Harry put him on the radio. Next thing you know, somebody wants to fund him. They create this website, Mr. Skin. It's a subscription service where you can go on and you can look up any actress at any given time, and it'll tell you exactly where that actress or actor, if you're interested in an actor, is nude in a film. It is a phenomenon. It is huge. I mean, it's absolutely huge. It also helped him fund to buy other websites. You know, Radar Online, the celebrity site?
Yes.
He owns that. He owns all sorts of websites.
And he's the cousin of one of my friends.
And he's a fabulous guy. He really is a fabulous guy. And the funniest story he told me when we were talking, because I didn't know this is all in his book, which is out now, Mr. Skin, search and buy the book. It's good for you.
He has a book?
He has a book. He also has, you know, kids.
Okay.
And the kids aren't allowed to look at the website, obviously. But his parents, I said, when you decide to tell your parents this is the career, how does that go? He said, you know, not great initially, but they were supportive. His mom now works for him. His mom's 80 years old. She works for the website.
Mrs. Skin.
Well, they're called Skin Turns.
That's hilarious.
Anyway, that's the latest podcast.
Does he have tattoos?
You know what? I don't know.
See, I always pictured him. I mean, I saw a picture, but I couldn't tell. But a guy with a bunch of tattoos, just because he's called Mr. Skin.
Yeah,
I
suppose.
I just would think he'd have a bunch of tattoos.
You'd be sorry. I mean, he couldn't be a better guy. He's just a great guy. Now, this podcast, I'll tell you, not for everybody, but it's just a general interview about his book and his life.
How many times has he been married?
Just one.
Oh.
And by the way, his wife was dating him before he became Mr. Skin. Because your question is not out of line at all. You
Thank
would think.
You.
You would think this guy is rolling with, you know, he's on wife 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same wife, fabulous kids, they love him. You know, he's just a very well-balanced guy who happens to be Mr. Skin.
Well, then I like him.
I think you would.
And did you hear what I just said? He's the cousin of one of my friends, so I could get you the scoop on the skin. If you really need it.
I think I'm good for now, but thank you. WGNradio.com/Cochran for all the podcasts. Miguel Cervantes is here. How are you?
Hello. Very well. Thank you for having
nice
me.
Nice to see you.
Thanks, man.
And say hi to this is G. Suki to your right here.
Hello, hello, hello.
Obviously, you know Mark Carmen.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is Marsha over here to your left.
Hi, Marsha.
Hello.
That's Joe and Michael in the booth.
Joe
there.
And Michael, what's happening, guys?
And up on the screens there, that's Mary and Steve in the newsroom.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
How are you?
And we're out of time.
Hey.
It's all we have time.
So happy to be here. Thank
Just
you so much.
Introduce the show. That's it. Is this a show day for you?
It is a show. I have a show tonight at 7:30.
Hey, you're
oh, no, I'm sorry. What's today? Wednesday. I have two shows today. I've got to be there 1:30 today. 1:30 and 7:30.
It's kind of important to know
yeah,
that.
So I should probably get there this afternoon.
How early do you get to a show?
I get there 45 minutes early. They get my hair done. I put the mic in. And
they
someone,
can do all that in 45 minutes?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I don't want to give out any secrets, but I'm going to. I get myself ready sort of at about 15 minutes before showtime, and I'm dressed by about 30 seconds before the show goes up is when time I'm finally ready to go.
Is it because of the adrenaline rush of, you know, just going out there and popping it right then?
Well, you know, after 3 years, it's, you know, it's kind of...
It's a template.
It's not such a chore to get ready to sort of get myself in the place. I know all the places I need to be. I've gotten my rhythms and my timing down.
Sure.
So, you know, depending on how I'm feeling, my voice, what I did earlier that day, if I played golf or something that day, I kind of got to get myself ready to go based on the day. But generally, I'm ready to. I can get ready pretty quickly.
So let's back this up for me. How did Lin-Manuel Miranda find out about you?
I was just one of the. I was just a guy.
Just somebody you just saw.
Some guy in New York City, and I had auditioned about 23 and a half times for In the Heights.
Okay.
When it was on Broadway, and never cracked that one. Never could get in the door there. I got in the door, but they shut the door pretty quickly.
But did you have any heat, any buzz about you at all?
No, I mean, not. I'd been on Broadway a couple times, but, you know, third guy to the left mostly. so not really any sort of big thing. And I had auditioned for Hamilton a while back, and they said, you know, I'm not throwing away my shot. And they said, okay, great, thank you, have a nice day. And
right,
so I
right.
figured that was done, and then right. it came back around, and I thought the same thing was going to happen. And then sure enough, four auditions later, he's sitting in the room with 25 producers, and here I am telling my wife we're moving to Chicago.
See, that's what's interesting to me, because I know how film works. In film, there's usually a callback or two, unless, again, you do the stuff that I used to do, which are one-line incredible roles,
yeah.
where you meet the guy in the men's room after, and he goes, hey, you know, wash your hands, because I wanted to shake your hand, because you're going to be in the movie. That type of thing.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, so, but in your case, there were literally four auditions?
Yeah, I went in once for the cast person and the music person, Alex, and that I was in there for about 15 or 20 minutes, and then they said, you know, can you come back in a couple days and work on a few things? And so when you get that sort of thing, an interest level peaks, and then come see the director, and he works on a few things, and say, hey, come back one more time, and you walk in the room, there's 28 people, and there are four producers and the lead producers, and Lynn was in there and all these things. And so then you're getting closer, and then they say, okay, well, great. So come back in one more time with some new stuff. And so the levels go on, you know, it can be, and I talked to some of the people who are in the show now who are getting the job more recently, and they're six times, eight times, you know, the dancers go in for all of these extensive workshops and stuff.
So, well, they got to get it right.
Yeah. They, you know, listen, I mean, they get off on rehearsal. So they teach them all the steps ahead of time. So that when they get in the room,
well, but it's a complex show.
Well, yeah, you know, and what they look for is very specific. They are very interested in people who can, A, do this thing. They want to have people who, you know, look right and feel right and have the right vibe for the show. And then they're actually trying to meet you and find out who you are and what the person is like. Because one of the things that Tommy, the director, talks about in his companies is he wants to have a company of amazing people. Talent is part of that, but people who get along together, who will put the right energy on that stage, who will put, and it takes time to find out, because anybody can go in a room once
sure.
and do it great.
Right.
But you go in there four or five times, and you have to see the person a little bit more and see who they are a little bit more.
How many shows have you done?
About 930. For whatever it's worth, I'm the most veteran Hamilton that there is, even beyond Lynn. I think Lynn only did it for about a year and 2 years total.
You still get excited when you go out?
Yeah. Yeah, you know,
it's an unbelievable show.
It's a unicorn. It's a unicorn.
Everybody says it over and over again. I know you don't get tired of hearing it. It is one of the greatest things I've ever seen on stage. Now, I don't know if you're a rapper or hip-hop guy prior to this, but people go, oh, that's a rap show. I'm not a rap. I would call this adaptive rap.
Yeah.
Because it's rap into music, into dialogue, into rap, into music, in various parts
of
the show.
Well, there's lots of rap in there, but then you get sidelined by a jazz song, or, you know, the what did I miss, or a musical theater ballad, or a sort of, you know, or a very,
and it all works,
and it's all very seamless, and it's calculated to within an inch of its life. I mean, everything up there, people say, oh, that thing that you guys messed around, I was like, yeah,
right,
we didn't, that was, it's all done. I mean, we sort of give our own feel and vibe, but
make it feel like you slapped it together every show.
That's my job. Yeah,
well, that's tremendous. You're amazing at it.
thank you
and I don't know what you're planning on doing next. next, apparently playing golf with me.
Well, yeah, listen, anytime. Yeah. This is the lifestyle to which I've become accustomed now that I've been in Hamilton for a while.
And I hope your wife loves Chicago.
Yeah, you know, we got here in September of 2016, and we came from New York City. We lived in New Jersey outside of the city, and we liked it. You know, it's good, but man, there's something about this city that makes you want to stay. Oh, it makes you want to stay.
And you grew up in New York?
Well, you know, I grew up in Texas. I grew up in Dallas. Went to school in Boston, and then ended up in New York for the last 10 years.
Where did you meet your wife?
In New York City. We went to school at the same time, or we were in Boston at the same time, but we met in New York. She was an actress type, and then she got a real job
right.
So that I could keep playing around on stage. And so that's how we sort of our dynamic, and then we got to come here.
Well, you
got to
be getting offers right and left now.
I mean, I could be, you know, if I was really pursuing... you know,
but is that the type of thing where you tell your agent, don't tell me about the good stuff because I really like what I'm doing now?
I mean, you know, a lot of people ask me this really interesting question, and actors get this question all the time. Like, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
What's next?
They go, what's wrong with what I'm doing now?
Right. What am I doing now? You know, you don't ever ask an accountant, like, what are you going to do next? or a doctor. So what do you have planned for the next
one? After tax season, what are you going to do then? Yeah.
So in my mind, if I found this amazing job and I can hold on to it as long as I can, and Hamilton it's a unicorn. Because there's not a lot of shows in the entertainment biz that you can say this is going to last for as long as they want.
Sure.
And not, you know, I've been on Broadway three times prior, and every week we're hoping and praying that we don't get the call about, no, this is it, we're shutting it down. And so this one, you know, if I am in the good graces of you know, my body to make sure it's this holds up.
And the gods of Broadway.
And the gods of Broadway, that it can keep going, and some other, you know, Hamilton will be playing all over the country. And
I'd like to see it about an 85 doing this.
Yeah, listen,
I'm not going to break my hip.
Listen, I'm really going to be good at the second act, the older guy part. It's the younger, the first act part that I'm going to have a little...
Well, it's great to have you here. Hang around for a second. I want to get G and Mark Carmen and Marsh and everybody involved in this too, and Rokan's coming up. We'll come back, get your headlines next, right, on 720 WGN.
With equipment like this in the home of the future, we may not have to go to work.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
In the 21st century, it may be that no home will be complete without a computerized communications console.
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Miguel Cervantes is here, lead in Hamilton. We'll get to our friend Rokan here in just a second. Jisoo Kyi is here as well. And Miguel's got a fascinating life. I want to talk about your daughter for a second.
Yes.
Your daughter has diagnosed epilepsy?
Diagnosed epilepsy. And as a medical lesson here, epilepsy is a symptom usually of something.
It's like an umbrella term, right?
Yeah. Epilepsy is a seizure disorder. And Seizures are caused by any number of things. Genetic causes, injuries, tumors, those kind of things. So epilepsy, sometimes in the world of epilepsy or in genetic conditions or something like this, the only thing you can fight against is the seizures.
Okay.
So, what we have found out is that in a world where there's so many things happening in the brain, you focus on stopping the seizures because the seizures can stop any development that is possible. So that's where the epileptologist and stuff, it's a seizure doctor to get the seizures under control. And that's what the epilepsy fight is.
And I know you've worked hard at raising money for the cause and things. Is there anything particular you want to plug for people to help out?
We are actually going to have a huge gala in the fall, which will come up. So I don't have any details about that.
But come back and talk about it.
Yeah, we'll talk about it then. You know, my wife, Kelly, KellyCervantes.com. She has an amazing blog about special needs families and the experience of raising a special needs daughter and that kind of thing. So check that out.
She's KellyCervantes.com.
KellyCervantes.com. She does amazing things. She's a superhero. You know, I always talk about myself. My job is to go out and do my little thing, and people stand up and clap for me at the end of the...
But that would be clapping for Kel.
Yeah, they should be standing up for her and other parents and family members of...
God bless her. Yeah. And your little guy, too.
And, you know, check it out. CureEpilepsy.com. If you're in New York by any chance, we're going there on Monday. We're having a big fancy gala in New York City at gocureepilepsy.org. Check it out.
Okay.
If you're in New York City, come check it out. We're singing a few tunes in New York City.
Well, that's good. You don't get a chance to sing that often.
You know what I mean? I really want to express myself.
I want to bring your friend Rokan in here in just a second. And Ro's a golf nut like I am.
Right.
But you have become a golf nut. And yeah. You invented something. What did you invent?
Listen, I started playing golf a couple years ago, and I realized that I'm a very scatterbrained. I'm trying to figure this game out. I'm like crazy. I just want to be good. I want to start the tour after Hamilton's over.
Yeah.
And I kept losing.
You still have time. It's over for Rowan.
Right, I know, right? Yeah. Well, listen. So I kept losing all the things, like the tees and the ball markers and the divots. I just kept losing it. Right. I would never. I'm not on the green very often. I don't make divots so often. But whenever I do, God, I want to just get in there and fix it.
See, it's like a divot tool, ball marker tees.
Yeah, and I could never have it. So I was like, well, there's got to be a thing that you keep all that stuff together in one place, in your pockets. Because, I'm a phone in my pocket, keys in my pocket. I'm not a strict rules guy. And so I was like, well, let me just go on Amazon and find the thing that you can put that. And, you know, you use all that stuff. Where do you use it? On the ground.
Yeah.
So clearly there's something you can put that's close to your shoe or attaches to your shoe, and it does not exist.
It's a pretty good idea.
Well, it exists now.
Let me see.
It's called a shoe caddy. It's a little...
So you clip
here, Ro Khan in here. Ro, I'm examining the shoe caddy for both of us.
So you clip that onto your shoelaces.
This is fantastic.
Yeah, and so you can keep it down there next to the ground. They were like, oh, well, I don't want to bend over. I was like, dude, you're bending over anyway.
This just slides onto your laces.
Right onto the laces, and you keep all your stuff in there, and it's magnetic, so if you have your little marker that you got from
And here's the
Pebble
good news
Beach.
For old guys. You bend down once. You bend down, you pull your marker, it's you put your marker down. You bend down once. You bend down, you fix it.
And you can put it on your pocket if you want. It goes right on your pocket or your belt. So,
dude, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
So, are you selling it yet?
I am selling it.
Where?
ShoeCaddy.com, S-H-U-Caddy, CADDY.com. Lots of different colors. We got a pink one. We got some teal ones. Listen, ladies, have you ever seen where ladies put their tees?
Yeah.
In their hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, you don't need to now.
You can put it right in your fancy shoe caddy, right on your shoe.
And you can stylize.
Yeah.
You can accessorize.
It can match your shoe, your hot pink.
Is this mine, by the way?
You can have that, sir. I want you to try it out. But the deal is that when you find out what you've been missing out on the golf course, you got to tell everybody how amazing your life is now.
Well, as you can see, I'm pretty stingy with the plugs.
Come on.
That's why I like your chances. Ro Khan, say hi to Miguel.
Hello, Miguel.
Hey, Ro Khan. What's up, man?
How are you?
Good.
You know, it's funny because I have heard, just learning engineering, now I'm getting mixed minus. Thank you very much.
Ro, by the way, is in his underpants at his house talking to us, Miguel.
That's how I did this.
You're looking for him.
Yeah. I do want to say, though, that there's a really, 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 really great invention still out for golf that I have not yet figured out how to personally make, which is a scorecard that changes to what you really thought you scored versus what you actually put down.
So sort of an AI thing. Artificial intelligence.
It's attached to your watch, and it sees how many times you actually swung the club, and then it takes your idea of what it should have been.
Yeah. So like you had a 7, but it shows a 4.
Yeah.
On the
you know what I mean?
You would have made that putt.
Listen, it was it's like a resort. It's a resort score. It's called a resort scorecard.
Actually, when it's called a Trump. That's what it's called. All right, let's go lightning round here. G, first say hi to your buddy, Ro.
Hello, buddy Ro.
G Suki is here.
G.
And I'm not even going to have time to give you a hard time about your front row tickets last night for the Cubs, where a picture of you appeared on TV where you could not have looked more bored.
Oh, my God. As long as it wasn't John Cusack bored, I'm good to go.
It made John Cusack look like he was thrilled to be there. All right, so let's go around the room. G, question for Miguel.
When did you start learning golf?
2 years ago. The guy who plays the king, Andrew Call, came in, and his wife back in New York City, so all he wants to do is play golf. And I said, yeah, sure, I'll play, whatever. I'm more of a beer drinker golf, you know. It's just very casual. And it turned from, yeah, we'll play every once in a while, to me being at the gym in the simulator by myself for hours. It's like a cardio, sweating, trying to get it. And I'm getting there. But two years as a real deal. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you and I need to take them golfing if we can figure out a time where we can both do it.
Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Hamilton playing golf. I think you should do it in costume.
Listen, if they would let me, I would do it. I would do it all day, right before the show, after the show. Give me my little green jacket. The green jacket. Hey yo!
Right, look how you worked at it.
Hey yo!
Mark Carmen, the hookup with Miguel comes from you because you played golf with him.
I did see Miguel out there. He was strong. He was very organized.
And you're terrible, right?
I'm a horrendous golfer, but I'm fun to play with. I keep it moving. You know, you don't need to worry about me finishing the hole. Just keep along.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to know if you could not play Hamilton. They said, you know, today's your last show. What would you miss the most about doing what you're doing right now?
The when you go out on the autograph line and someone is crying or shaking or moved to tears just from seeing what you have just done, grown-ups and kids alike, it's a pretty profound understanding of what this means to people.
Sure.
You know, and I think to be able to be part of that has been pretty special. It's an amazing thing to be part of.
Marcia, question?
Well, I just want to know, how do you handle the lady fans? You know, you're not the bad-looking guy, and we know you're married, so how do you handle
that's a good point, because you got groupies from your demo all the way to dead.
You know, I have asked... Seriously, I have been very, very unaware... you know, thankfully unaware of any sort of, you know, advances. Every once in a while, there'll be someone at the end of the autograph right. line that says, "Hey, what are you doing later?" And I was like, "Well, I'm actually going home
to my wife and children.
I've got to go to sleep." You know, the younger folks, they get to enjoy these days of Instagram and Insta messages and Twitter. Yeah. They get a very direct line to these people, and I think they take advantage of it, which is fantastic. But I my wife and my kids are plastered all over my social media, so I actually don't take a look. I don't go looking for the comments that are like, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" or anything. So I've thankfully been.
But there's a part of you that said, if this was 20 years ago, imagine the trouble I would have gotten into.
Well, and you know, I wonder how I would be able to sustain, because how could
you'd
you
be
not
dead by the weekend?
You're going out every night and meeting people, and I've got to be up and do the show the next day. You know?
I get it. I live the 90s. And Ro, question?
Yes.
Not for you, for him, you egomaniac.
Oh. Well. You know, when Miguel is done, I'm taking Hamilton to Olathe, Kansas. I don't know if you know that. That's one of the touring groups is going to be going there.
So you're the lead?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. No, you know what? I'm not going to miss my shot. So I just figured that I got to get it.
Rose playing the Y outside of Kansas City in a suburb.
Yeah. It's actually not one of the it's not one of the actual ones that they're making any money on.
No. You know,
that's the thing. Yeah. Hey, the thing to me that is most amazing, when you got that gig, did you just stop and think to yourself, "Oh my God," because it not only was it the hottest and most acclaimed show on Broadway as it was moving, you know, out to here, but it was also, it's one of the greatest pieces of theatrical art ever.
Yeah. Was there a moment where you said, "I'm not doing this"?
No, you know, no. But I had a weird moment when I went and saw the show, because I'd seen the show prior, and I saw Lynn do it, and I thought it was pretty amazing. Then I went and saw the show again. I was like, "Wow, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that." I mean, it was mystical to watch him. But thinking back on when I got the call, I mean, it was the lottery. I mean, it's real.
It's a winning lottery.
It doesn't happen. And so I had to wrap my brain around the course of my life was changing forever. It wasn't just a cool job, but literally the course of my life was changing, and my daughter had just been diagnosed with epilepsy, so all of the emotions.
And your wife had to be on board to move to Chicago.
Yeah, we had to change. She had to quit her job and all these things.
Your little boy has had to be on board.
Yeah,
all of it.
He loves it. He's like, peace out, New Jersey.
Well, we got to do this again because we have no time. We have to do this again. Absolutely. And I know you're a busy guy, but you and I are going to play golf.
Yes,
and we're going to ditch Ro. We'll at least give Ro a plug for his show. What time are you on today?
3 o'clock. I will dress as the king.
By the way, the king is such a great character.
Yeah. You know, that's my buddy Andrew, and here's the real fact. He is on stage for as many minutes as I am off stage, and you ask people, "Who's your favorite?" Who do they say?
Oh, he's a stealer.
The king.
He steals the show. He really does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is. Every time he's on, scene stealer. Ro Khan this afternoon at 3. Listen to him try to squirm and explain his really good seats for the Cubs game last night.
Oh, boy.
And looking bored as you could possibly be.
I was doing math. I was waiting for Eloy Jimenez to come up and hit the dinger.
Yeah. Hey, be careful how you talk. This is my show now. Thank you, buddy.
Adios.
That's Ro. And Miguel, thank you. And with all the success of Hamilton, I hope everybody that wants to see it doesn't dilly-dally. It ends in January. Get your tickets while you can.
Absolutely. Come on down. We're going to be here. So we'd love to see as many people as we can.
All right. Great to see you, man.
Thanks, man.
All right. We need another break. I forgot. We got so far behind. Bill O'Neill will be here in just a second. G, it's nice to see you. Plug your Suntimes thing again.
Yes. It's the Grid, Neighborhood Eats, and the Sip on Suntimes.com under the More tab.
And again, this is one of the great things in show business. Sometimes you can lock into a gig, which provides you free booze and food. And that's exactly what G has done here. And really, I mean, the work is incredible.
Do you need an assistant?
Anytime.
All right, so go to the Sun Times webpage, mm-hmm. go way right to more.
Click on more.
Drop down menu is grid. Click on grid, and then we'll find everything you've ever done.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having
nice
me.
Nice to see you, as always. Social media, by the way, the hookup there is what?
It's OMG is my Instagram.
And that's OMGI. Or J-I.
Oh, man, it's complicated. O-H underscore E-M underscore J-I.
That's it.
Sorry.
That you said. We'll put the link up. Bill and Wendy in a minute. Hey, it's just after 10. We're having a hardcore show business discussion. I don't even feel like finishing the discussion. thanks again to Jisuke and Miguel Cervantes. By the way, Miguel doesn't come in here without Carms. Carms is his buddy.
They're friends.
Yeah.
We're tight, Steve.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
I played golf with him once, but we bonded.
He's that kid, though, about winning the lottery. Imagine that. You're trying to make it. You're trying to crack through on Broadway, and suddenly you're friggin' Hamilton.
Yep.
That ain't bad.
It's a little bit, though, unfair. Like, you put yourself in position to do that. He's got to take a little bit of credit, right?
Oh, no question. Yeah, and you got to have talent.
Right.
So, yeah. It's a little different than a lottery ticket. You kidding? Stop it. He won a lottery. Starts at 10 a.m. every day. Working with Bill Leff. What a thrill for you.
It is.
Thank you.
It's a total thrill.
What are you guys doing today?
The Chicago accent is going away.
Chicago.
The Chicago accent is going away. So Ted McClelland has written an article about this. Where is it going and why?
Well, have you been to the South Side? I'm not sure it's going away.
He says it's got three more days.
So Friday is it?
Friday's the end.
Okay.
Everything must go.
It's a lot of news for people down in, you know, Beverly. Hello.
They'll have to learn to speak with a more affected accent.
All right. Far as I know, I'll be back tomorrow.